Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to another intergalactic episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus, and I'm Sarah Armour.
And I'm Molly Malshine, and hopefully our voices are the same volume.
We've been having a lot of issues when it comes to balanced audio, and we are learning and growing right before your eyes because it's about progress, not perfection here at Space Trash Podcast.
That's what they always say in Peloton.
Oh my God, NAA. So it's like, that's the message.
How have you been this week, Sarah?
Just been great, you know, just a regular week here at the doggy daycare slash hotel I now stay at half the time because it is a pool, LOL. It's a delightful week, you know, everything was pretty standard. How about you?
Pretty stressful just because I am trying really hard to get my house in order and I cannot do it. And it's very stressful because I'm a Taurus moon, so I thought I was supposed to be good at that.
Well, here's the thing. You are a Taurus moon. Hypothetically, you're good at that. But I think, okay, so like yesterday, we officially had the nodes switch from Gemini Sagittarius into Taurus Scorpio. You are a Taurus moon, but you're also a Scorpio Mars.
Okay.
So I think that the next 18 months are going to be kind of like a boss battle between your moon and your Mars. Mm-hmm. And ultimately your moon's going to win because the North Node is in Scorpio. But it's like, you know, I feel like, you know, the nodes haven't been in Taurus and Scorpio for 18 years, right?
So wow.
There's been a lot of gunking up of your Taurus moon that is now going to get cleared out. But the last 18 years, you know, you might have had to rely more on that Scorpio side because we have lived in this sort of, you know, hell empire on Earth, just trying to survive. And I feel like that's where Scorpio, when it comes to like living in a, you know, living in like a corrupt society, I think Scorpio thrives.
Yeah. So I was 16 the last time Taurus was in one of the nodes.
Right. Isn't that crazy?
That's really weird. I lost my virginity that year. What else did I do?
Well, dude, that was what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, like, to everybody, look back at what was going on in, like, you know, 2004. That's basically the last time that this, like, 2003, 2004, this was the last time what was going on for you. You really are kind of, like, from the future here to rebuild. And until maybe this moment in time, you haven't really had, like, carte blanche to do so.
Right. But, Sarah, what if I tell you I don't really feel like rebuilding anything anymore?
Okay,
I kind of just want to make money now. Like, I really had a shift in the last week or two. Or
that's
like
the node shift. The node shift. Or like, you felt it.
I'm literally, like I said, next week, I'm not doing stand-up anymore until I'm getting paid for it. I'm not doing things that take hours that don't make me money. I'm not doing it anymore.
Okay, but so that's enough, though. That is the shift. That is the rebuilding. You don't have to do the actual rebuilding, right?
Yeah, but I'm participating back in the capitalist system. I'm like recapitalizing myself.
Well, right now, it is capitalism. So like we have to be, I mean, I was just talking about this with someone the other day, which is like, you know, how do we be anti-capitalist, or how do we create a new, more loving society, but also like pay the bills and survive, right? So while money is still the currency that we use, even if we are the most devoted freedom fighters on planet Earth, we do still have to participate in the capitalist system. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I feel the same, but I think that what you're saying is actually dead the fuck on, which is like, when I'm saying to you, like, rebuild the system, I don't mean you have to, like, do anything, but even good. You just declaring, I'm only doing X, Y, and Z if X, Y, and Z, then the world will actually start to like shift around you. Or like then if we had a conversation, let's just say to follow up, like we do right now, I could be like, okay, well, so like, I love that as a plan. How do we actually like, what would the rules be then? Like, because I was actually thinking about this yesterday in the car because I was thinking about open mics. I was having the same thought, which is like, do I want to go do stand up? Like, am I like super motivated? And it's like, no, not really. And it's like, well, why? And it's like, because even if I get paid, I don't get paid that much. And then it's like, yeah, but who does deserve to get paid? I mean, at what point, like, cause the way that you get good is open mics, right? Or like is doing unpaid shit. But it's like, so where is that? I was just thinking in my head, like, where's that threshold between like appropriate to get paid versus like, you know, like it's not free labor, you're practicing. Do you know what I mean? Like, where's the line? And I think we both feel that we've crossed the line.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just an so you don't have to, we don't have to do anything differently, especially Taurus North Node. Taurus wants us to do less and do everything more slowly and be more. But the thing about Taurus that I think we've really let go of over the last at least 18 years, but like, you know, centuries, millennia, is the, like on a basic level, like what Taurus cares about more than anything is that its needs are met. On a basic level, Taurans need their needs to be met. So what you're saying is exactly right, which is like, look, at the end of the day, I'm not doing anything that doesn't also meet my needs. It doesn't actually give me the thing that I need in order to feel safe. Or like, I mean, it's not even, it's like literally like basic needs being met. So the reason that Taurus is responsible for finances and money is because in our culture, that has become the currency that we use to make people feel safe or like their needs can be met. In reality, you know, there was a time when money didn't exist and Taurus was still an archetype, and but it was just like grass and strength and, you know, sunlight. And yeah. So that's why I think we're returning to a way more, the next 18 months are going to be us returning to a way more basic nature, a way more basic way of life, not in like a basic way, but in a way of like, oh man, we forgot a lot of these like little micro details that might make it a lot easier to not need so much help surviving, like on top of not having these basic needs met.
So I was at Sam's house today working on our radio show with our comedy trio, Meet the Junior Misses. Check out the Junior Misses on Spotify. Our album came out last summer and we're putting a radio show together. And
Horse Girl, I just want to say, if you guys are horse, if you're listening to this pod and you have ever even been near a horse in your life, you're going to want to listen to the Horse Girl song. It's called I'm a Horse Girl Bitch and it is so fucking good.
It's not even been near a horse. It's been near a horse girl.
Right. Well, either.
Yeah. Because we've all been near horse girls. And I love horse girls and I honor them. I want to be one. But so Sam and I were talking about this and he was telling me about this thing I had never heard of before that Socrates came up with called the noble lie. And the noble lie is the idea that every person has within themselves either bronze, silver, or gold. And this is why we have bronze, silver, and gold medals. And the idea is the bronze people are the workers. They're born to clean toilets. The silver people are the managerial class or the lawyers or the accountants. And then the gold are the nobility, the people who don't have to work and just have money. And it's a noble lie. It's a lie. So, but this lie exists in every single society that we have a record of. We don't have a record really of any society that was able to actually live out their lives successfully in like a communist way or in a fully egalitarian way. So it's like, it's so weird because it's like, yeah, every, and then yesterday it was really funny. You know, those Shen Yun ads that are everywhere for the Chinese like music festival thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I got an ad for it on YouTube for some reason yesterday. And the little tagline was like, see China before communism. And I was like, wait, what? It's a dance show. I didn't, it was like,
wait. Now I want to see it though. I want to say that is good advertising because you have officially just compelled me to like at least Google it after this.
Right. But I'm like,
that's very funny.
It's really more totalitarianism, not communism. And like people conflate those two things all the time. But
totally.
The thing is, that thing that Socrates came up with is clearly true because even when you have a communist society, there's people at the top who consider themselves better than it and don't have to follow the rules always. Like Fidel Castro had like mansions and boats and hoes. And, you know, so I don't know. How do we reconcile the fact that we inherently need to rank ourselves in order to keep our species alive according to what Socrates came up with? And he was a pretty smart dude. So I don't want to go against it.
Well, no, I mean, like, I think that is the question. And I think that the problem is that, like, so, I mean, Kate, if you're listening, was it you that was talking to this, Kate? But it's like, this idea that, like, cause societies do, like, class systems aren't inherently bad, right? Like, there is something to being a quote unquote lower class person, having the aspiration. Like, I think we need desire. We need aspiration in order to be happy. So in that way, the class system is helpful because it's like low key, the richest people are actually the most miserable. So it's like, it's not like,
no, they're not.
We get to aspire to be like them, but they all hire me, for example, because they're the people that can pay me full price are the most miserable. That's why I don't mind working on a sliding scale with the artists, because the artists are like hungry. Like they're like, whereas like the rich people are just like, what do you mean you want me to hug my pillow? What do you mean you want me to like listen better and be generous? You know what I mean? It's like, they're like fucked up around like really basic shit, even though they have all the money, and it's flip-flopped, but it's sort of like, so there's nothing inherently wrong with the class system, and there's nothing inherently wrong with there being governing bodies and leadership, etc. But I do think that the problem is that now we've been in this like financial system for so long. Number one, the dollar is worth literally nothing. So It's not like it actually is. It's like, that's the newest noble lie, that money is anything or worth anything.
I got a latte from Starbucks last time I was in New York. It was $7.50.
Oh, it is. That's what it is. This drink right here was $7.50. This is a chai latte with two shots of espresso.
That's
$7.50.
Sure.
Well, now even gas is like $4 a gallon now.
It's always like twice the price here in Europe because they don't want gas guzzling SUVs. So the gas is always way more expensive, which I think is great.
That's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, I think, yeah, with like, it's okay maybe to have a class system if there's fluidity within it. Like,
well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
That's what's like, not fair right now.
Exactly. Right. Not only does there need to be fluidity within it, but it actually does need to be like based on something. Like, I think when we talk about the monarchy, part of what is so interesting is that like, it's because it's been carried on so long, like the royal family, they're not better than anybody. Like, they don't have any great skills. They're not particularly talented. They're not even attractive at this point. So it's like the fact that they just have the money and the power. They don't have like gold. They don't have gold in their brains or gold in their blood. They have gold in their vault that they have been inbreeding for centuries to pass down to each other so that they can keep the money in the vault. So that's where there is no fluidity, and the people that have all of the money don't actually have any extra talent. Like, I have no problem with like actual governing bodies, you know, having more money and also having the mental space to think creatively about what's best for all the people. Like, if it's actually benevolent leadership, I have no problem with people having money. Like, that's okay. If you have a huge responsibility, then you can have income to weigh, like balance out the mental burden. You can have the financial benefits that weigh out the financial burden of actually being a responsible person for other people. It's just that nobody does that anymore. Even now, like, our government is so much more about just remaining in power than actually being helpful. It's disgusting.
And but
that's what this Taurus North Node is asking us to consider, which is just like, okay, but if we all agreed that like money wasn't the thing, let's just say, what would we do? How would we create new systems? And again, I'm not saying you have to, Taurus, but you can just fucking relax and stand firm in like, no, I'm a cow and I eat grass.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I'm just getting my house in order and making money this year. That is all I care about. And I think that for rich people, we need to bring back noblesse oblige.
What's that?
That's when I've told you about this before.
Tell me.
It's when rich people back in the day, they were like ashamed to be rich. And they were like, we are obligated to provide for the people because we have so much money. And it doesn't really exist anymore because the idea of meritocracy has gotten so out of hand because it's not real. Like, the reason why libraries exist in the US is because rich people said, we need to make sure people are being educated and this is a way that we can do it. And now it's funded by tax dollars. But like, it was Andrew Carnegie, who was like a freaking oil tycoon or whatever. And that's how libraries started.
Well, and actually so I fucking love that. Could not agree more. And I think that like the difference is looking like, I'm not a historian. So like, apologize if I'm wrong, cut it if I'm wrong, but it's like Andrew Carnegie, who is an oil tycoon or whatever. He actually, number one, built his empire, made his money, and then was in his mind a responsible leader. Like, the issue now is that everybody is in such a panic about losing their money or not having their money that now why do we want to do nepotism celeb of the week? Because now it's like whoever is just being passed on this money not only didn't make it themselves, but doesn't feel any sort of responsibility to anybody else because they're not coming from that perspective. Like, you look at someone like many of the founders of our country, or not, I don't even mean founders of our country, but like, you know, when we look at, I mean, I've watched those hours of like History Channel, like the Men Who Built America series, right? I love all those, but it's like a lot of them come from nothing and, you know, read the Napoleon Hill book or did whatever they could do to actually innovate in the country or innovate in multiple countries and then create a different sort of infrastructure for us to survive on. And then they had all this money and then they built libraries. They gave back. They felt responsible to the culture, which I think now the issue is because the money is just so passed along. Nobody feels responsible to anybody else, but keeping their money because there is so much fear in this space. Yeah. And I love this idea of like, yeah, it's a shame if you're rich. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, it's trickle down economics doesn't work is not a thing, but it is sort of like the reasoning behind it, right? It's like, well, if you let the rich people keep all the money, then like it's more likely that they'll hire more people and the money will trickle down. It's like no fucking way because everyone's in such a fear state that we just do everything we can to not trickle money down.
And they're going to be hiring like maids that they pay 20 grand a year, you know, like it's going to be
that have been with the family for years and feel lucky to be there.
Right. It's terrible. And also, like, don't get me wrong, Andrew Carnegie and the Rockefellers, they were all still hoarding wealth to an obscene degree, but at least they were doing something. And now we can't even trust our government to redistribute wealth properly.
Literally, we cannot.
Speaking of nepotism celebs of the week.
Now that's a good intro.
Yeah. Britney Spears' sister, Jamie Lynn, she's on a bit of a press tour trying to, you know, protect her good name, I guess. I don't really know what the goal is. She did GMA. She did Good Morning America. And
then she did Nightline.
Oh, I didn't see the Nightline.
I saw Nightline. And then she did Call Me Daddy.
Yeah. Is it Call Me Daddy, Call Her Daddy, Call You Daddy?
Oh, nobody have no idea. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it's normally a bit of a no for me, that show.
Yeah, I've never watched until I just looked this up.
Yeah, like I listened to this one, which was, and I have to say, the host, Alex Cooper, it was a great interview.
I thought she did a good job, yeah. It made me
really
like,
good job.
I don't know her and I don't know enough about the show, but I know there's been like a lot of controversy or whatever. I liked her in this.
Yeah, and I liked her episode with Holly Madison was really good too. I just can't handle the way she says, daddy gang. And I'm just like, this makes me want to crawl up my own butt and die. Like, I can't. But, you know, it takes all types. Yeah, it takes all types. So I really liked her on Call Her Daddy. It kind of made me root for Jamie Lynn.
Well, I'm so excited to talk about this with you because I had very mixed feelings. I mean, why do you say that? If anybody didn't watch, give us like the sort of, give us a media rundown of some of the stuff because there's been a huge amount of, it's almost like, how do we even dive into this? Because like between those three interviews and then let alone the book, I mean, she can't possibly have even more in the book, but it's like she gave us a lot to discuss within these three podcasts. I mean, bombshell stuff, so to speak. And then Brittany and Jamie have been in a now public feud about it. So like, what was your takeaway from the, like, if you were like, this was Jamie's message overall, like, why do you err on the side of Jamie now?
It's not that I err on her side over anyone else. It's just that I kind of feel bad for her that everyone's just using her as a scapegoat now. And even when the first Britney documentary came out last summer or whenever it was, and everybody was like, it's so terrible how we do this to women, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, now you're doing it again to Jamie Lynn. And like, we thought when all that stuff happened with Britney, the whole guise we were doing it under was she's a bad mom and her children are in trouble and she's a bad role model for children. So this was like, there was a self-righteous thing about the Britney stuff. It was motivated by sexism, classism, because she's from Louisiana. Like, things like that for
sure. And racism, because like she happened to be friends with like a couple of Middle Eastern guys, and that's really what sent her family into the ultimate panic.
Right. So it was motivated by all this stuff, but we all pretended that it was concern. We were pearl clutching and concern trolling. Oh, it's bad for girls to watch her. I saw a TikTok where Eminem is saying that her music is bad for kids. I was like, bro, you made an entire rap song about murdering your girlfriend?
Rap song. It's the album and it's the mother of his child.
Right. Like, what's bad for your daughter might wear a belly shirt if she watches a Britney Spears video. Oh, boo-hoo. But so, like, my point is that we're doing the same pitchfork mob thing with Jamie Lynn now. Like, and she makes a point a few times in these different interviews, like, at least the tabloids had the balls to put their name on the controversial things they were saying about Britney, because now it's anonymous Instagram commenters and they're doing the same shit. And like everyone on Twitter and Instagram is like, Jamie Lynn, you're just using your sister to be famous, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I do think it's probably in poor taste for her to come out with a book that, you know, she wouldn't be this famous if it wasn't for Britney. She probably wouldn't be famous at all if it wasn't for Britney. But at the same time, she, like, their fame started when she was so young. And also, she put her 8-year-old daughter on an ATV by herself. I don't know if Jamie Lynn's got really the cognitive wherewithal that we would like her to have. Like,
well, when the ATV the ATV thing, like, I was confused by it. Like, I actually had to do some deep Googling because I kept reading it or hearing that sentence and it didn't, I couldn't understand. Like, I was just looking for some proof that the kid wasn't on the ATV by herself. Like, I was looking for any kind of, she was on with the husband. She was on with, the big moment in your life that had you wake up and realize, like, everything was that your literal child was driving heavy machinery and turned it over. No shit, she turned it over. Like, what
8 years old?
What are you doing? Right. Like at the end of the day, like, whatever you want to say about Jamie Lynn, and this is not any fault of her own, but she is sort of an idiot.
Right. And like she says on Call Her Daddy that she knew from the time, she doesn't remember a time not knowing that she was an accident for her parents.
Yep.
Also really funny, she said, I always wondered why Brittany and Brian had matching names and my name was just Jamie Lynn. They just, you know, pulled whatever two names because it's my dad's name and my mom's name. And I'm like, how dumb are your parents? They had 9 months to think of a Brandy, Brianna, anything. And they were in the freaking delivery room. Oh, I guess it'll be Jamie Lynn. Like, this is a family that I don't think... All right, now let me be a real... This is a bronze family.
Well, okay, you just read my mind. No,
that's terrible.
No, but it's like, but here's the thing. No, this is a bronze family, but in our culture, because we are so sick, they are the gold family. Because
yeah, but
they have all the money. They have been working, but they have, you know, I mean, if you're looking at Socrates's, I don't like the way that sounds, but Socrates's theory, Jamie Lynn then becomes the gold star of the family because she has literally had to do less than everybody. And it's
right, but
true.
I mean, the Socrates theory doesn't speak to people's actual metal. Do you know what I mean? That METTLE. Like, it doesn't
really speak
to what's actually on the inside, because I think from the beginning of time, the aristocracy and the nobles were probably dumber than everyone underneath them. Like, once in a while, there's a really smart one. Like, Elon Musk clearly is really smart and he's a son of an emerald miner. Like, but that's rare. Usually they're dumbasses. So, like, I think it's probably been this way forever that the people with the most money are kind of dodos. Like, I think the Spears family, they just were not equipped to handle this sudden burst in fame, notoriety, money, and power. Like, listening to Jamie Lynn describe how when she got pregnant, she wasn't allowed to tell Britney. She wasn't allowed to tell anyone. They lied to her about her being able to see her boyfriend anymore. And they brought her to some house. She doesn't even know what state it was in. And she had to pay for it. And she doesn't even know who made these decisions because her mom wasn't sticking up for her. And her mom was just,
they were like begging her to abort it.
Right. And like, I don't know. It's just like, man, who was in charge? Who was at the wheel with this? Like, you kind of
But this is the issue, that who was at the wheel, like, even though she, you know, Jamie Lynn is in there going, I don't know. I mean, that whole call her daddy thing was a whole lot of I don't knows at the end of the day, right? Which I think is telling. But at the same time, it's like, actually, her manager is still Lou Taylor. And who's making those decisions? Lou Taylor. That's who was making those decisions.
Was Lou Taylor always her manager?
That's a great question. I think we could probably Google it. I don't know. But I do know that Lou Taylor was TriStar Entertainment owned Britney for a huge portion of like her entire come up. Then there was like some break. And then when the conservatorship happened, Lou Taylor came back on staff.
Right.
So I think this is a big time Lou Taylor production. And I think even now,
Kris Jenner friends with her.
I'm not that surprised.
I know, but it makes me sad.
I know.
What were you gonna say? Sorry.
Well, it's just that, like, I think at the end of the day, like, part of, I think, the problem with the Jamie, I mean, there's a lot to, I have many thoughts. There's a lot to discuss, but I do think that when Jamie Lynn is saying, I didn't know what was happening to me or around me or with me or what was paid for by what or who, you know, I believe her, but I don't think that she still doesn't know about that. So it's like, in one of the interviews she was saying, like, I think it was the Good Morning America interview, she was saying that they were like, why did you write this book, you know, now or whatever. Now, the real question is, why did you write this book now? And why couldn't you have held off a year in order to publish it? Okay, these are all valid questions. But one of the things that she said was just that she wanted to give her younger self a voice. Like young Jamie Lynn literally never had a voice, never had a say in almost anything about her childhood. And so she was really giving her younger self a voice. That said, she's not her younger self anymore. So it's like, coming from the point of view, like, it's almost like when she was in the call her daddy interview or whatever, and all the interviews, it's almost like she's reverting back to her younger self playing this I don't know game. But it's like, Jamie, you know the answers now.
Right. You're on a speaking basis with your mom, and your mom has to remember who made the decisions that her first grandchild was, like, when her first grandchild was about to be born. Like,
right.
I don't know if it was her first, but, you know. And
well, we know that you still are in a business relationship. I mean, as little as like a year ago, we have pictures of like your dad cozying up to Lou Taylor, who looks exactly like your mom. Like, Lou Taylor is the puppeteer in all of this in big ways. You know that. She's the one that set this up for you. So, like, you know, you could say, I didn't know then, but to now come in and go, and I still don't know. It's almost like she's like absolving herself of full responsibility. Now, I think it's okay to absolve your child self of full responsibility, but then also be the adult sitting there going, and now here's where I'm at with it, you know, or here's the truth here's what I thought then. Here's now the true truth. And here's my position. But she has no position. She has no higher level truth. And even in this adult like conversation, when they're asking questions, a lot of the answers are still, I don't know, I'm just a kid. And it's like, well, you're not a kid anymore. And not to mention, like, okay, I gotcha. It hurt your heart that your parents just named you Jamie Lynn, because it was like Jamie and Lynn. But two things. Number one, I got the impression that when they decided to keep her, even though she wasn't an accident, they kept her. And it was sort of like, I think the name was a, because like, if we look at the story of Jamie and Lynn Spears, just the parents, they've been together since high school. You know, he was obviously like an abusive drunk, and, you know, but in whatever toxic their relationship is, and, you know, we know that they're from like backwoods Mississippi, like who knows what normal is there, right? They were not having an easy time breaking up, despite how apparently abusive or allegedly abusive he was. So yeah. I do think that when they had Jamie Lynn, naming her Jamie Lynn, I don't think it was like a, oopsies, we forgot to even think about naming her, let's just put them together. I
right.
think like a, we're keeping a Jamie Lynn to save the relationship of Jamie Lynn.
Right. So do you think she knows that and she's pretending?
Yes.
Like, this is another woe is me moment?
Yes. Like, because I think that's
a stupid story. Oh, my parents couldn't even think of a BR name for me. And that proves that I've been kicked to the curb since I was in utero.
Right. So I think that that is where Jamie is reaching. That's what I'm saying. Like, if she was just sharing her sob stories, or if that story was like, when I was a kid, the way it felt was, looking back now, I'm not, like, for her to be hung up on not having a burr name is a little bit like, but like, this is ridiculous.
It's a little petty. Yeah.
Who the fuck cares? Not to mention, though, she got married to somebody named Jamie. So now, are you still, like, it's one thing to be, if you're upset that your name is Jamie, then marrying someone named Jamie isn't actually a logical choice.
What's going on with the names in Kentwood?
Well, dude, that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, Jamie, like, you could spin this story a lot of different ways. And in fact, you've made choices to attach. Not only is your mom and dad Jamie and Lynn, but your husband is Jamie. Like, you need there's a better storyline here that you as a songwriter should be able to come up with, where it's like, actually, I realize this is my birthright is to be a Jamie. And like, you know what I mean? It's just like, it should be like, I live for Jamies. And like, I'm so grateful I'm not a Burr, because the Burrs are all fucked up. And, you know, so I think in that way, that's the whole issue. I think that, like, Jamie Lynn, does she deserve a voice? Absolutely. Listening to her, did I have sympathy for her? Absolutely. But it was also just like, I don't know. It's a little bit like, know your role. And if it were me, which it's really easy to say, because I couldn't possibly relate to the story less in all areas. Yeah. Okay. But I like to think, if it were me, like, because one of the people asked her and kept asking her, like, yeah, but why now? Everybody asked her, why are you doing this book now? She really didn't have an answer, except that I believe it was on Nightline, the interviewer got her to say why now. And what she said, or maybe it was Good Morning America, she said, I've been writing this book for a few years, and this was always going to be the launch time. Like, I, separate of Britney's, being freed from the, whatever, yeah. This was the conservatorship. And she was like, I didn't want to keep, it occurred to me, maybe I should postpone the launch of the book, but I didn't want to do something again, just because, like, my sister now, like, had something going on. So then I had to take a back seat again. Like, I made the date that it was coming out. I wanted to complete it because I said I was going to complete it at this time. That might be true, but like, it's stupid. What a stupid, hold off a year for your own sake. Like, you're not going to get any less famous. People are still going to be interested. So like, for you to do it right now is a little bit like, I don't know. I think I would say, hey, well, let's give it 6 months.
Right. I mean, clearly she's capitalizing on this moment. Yeah. And she's trying to get her version of events out before any sort of other lawsuits come out. You know, she's trying to sort of poison the well poison the well is a bad choice of words, but she's trying to get in front of the story before she has
trying to get in front of the story is exactly right.
Yeah. And I do feel for her with saying, you know, I idolized my sister. She was like a second mom to me. They have 10 years between them. So it must have been weird. And she talks about in Call Her Daddy, the really weird power dynamics at play in her household. Like, Brittany having to say to her mom, I'll buy you a mansion so that you can divorce dad, but you have to divorce dad. And then they get the divorce to get the mansion, and the dad is there on night one. It's like, that's really messed up. And to be a little girl, like, again, 10 years younger than your closest sibling in age, and have this chaos swirling around you and all of these people not really being adults at all, it must be like, then when the time comes that, oh, it turns out Brittany needs to have us watch over her, blah, 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 you would not know your ass from your elbow, even, like, especially because she was 17 and just had her kid right when the conservatorship started.
Well, I also understand where she wanted that kid.
Yeah, yeah. Because
she felt like she didn't even have it. Like, at least she had a shot here that this kid would be her family.
Right. Her parents really were just, like, swept up in all the, like, the Britney stuff. And I don't know. I just want to know what the hell went through her parents' minds ever. It's just crazy.
I'll tell you what. They're high school sweethearts. They didn't go to college. The father has a fledgling drinking problem that becomes worse and worse and worse over the course of many years. When they realize that Brittany not only has talent, but has the, like, grit and the, like, I don't think that Jamie and Lynn were like, I know, we're going to pop out a baby and she's going to be a superstar. I do think that, like, and even in Brittany's chart, like, her karma was to, like, it was Brittany going, drive me here, take me there. She was that self-motivated kid that was like, I've got the goods, take me there.
You don't think Lynn was a stage mom?
No, I don't think they were stage parents at all. I think they lucked out. with this kid. And then what happened was,
and they backed into it, like ass backwards, no idea what to, and they're like, well, we don't really have like real jobs or whatever. So we might as well,
I mean, even look like Desi, like she has a baby, right? He's four now. He's gorgeous. We joke all the time. I'm just like, take him to the Gap open call auditions, take him to Baby Gap, take him to Baby Benetton. Cause he looks sort of, he's, you know, Bolivian. He looks like a world, you know, world child. And it's like, Desi, like let's she, we've joked about it, but like she would do it. Like we literally sometimes are like, but then it's like, it's not that easy anymore to just break your kid into child. Like, but we would 100%, we've agreed, like, let's exploit the baby so that the baby can have a better life. Like, so I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with being like, okay, the child could be the breadwinner. Although, I mean, it is a little bit troublesome, but in this case,
yeah, I think it's a tricky place to put a kid in.
Yeah. It's a tricky place to put a kid. But I think in this case, I don't think they put her there. I think that she was totally self-motivated and was like, I'm going to do this. And even to the point where like the mom and the dad, before they were making money, they couldn't even leave. Felicia Collada took her to all the interviews. The mom's best friend took her to New York back and forth because the parents were so working class working that they literally like were struggling to survive. I think as Jamie's alcoholism got worse, the money became more important because then you're not only like just protecting and, you know, supporting a family, but you're also keeping everybody out of trouble. And you're also, you know, supporting somebody's drug problem. So someone's addiction, you know, they became total enablers. And I think that for Lynn Spears, you know, it's not a flattering look, but look, we see it all the time where like you have these people that are in love with their, it's why all the memes, it's why all the narcissist memes. It's like, I think Lynn Spears loved Jamie Spears in high school and he became an awful father and an awful husband. But it's like, when that's the only person you've ever had sex with, when that's the only person, like, I mean, I stay in relationships way too long, you know, like I totally get the instinct to be like, well, they're struggling with something or they have an issue. Like for Brittany to have to say, if you divorce dad, I'll buy you the house, and for them to say yes and then have the dad come over, it's actually like the kernel of the beginning of how painful this has been for Brittany the entire fucking time. Can you imagine doing everything you can to try to pay your way out of your relationship with your father and then get trapped in a relationship where you're actually just paying him to trap you? I mean, that's, it's like, oh, like that so is insane. So fucking painful. Like, holy shit. Yeah. Like that is where I can't imagine. And I do think that like Jamie Lynn, like, sure, you deserve to have your voice heard. You deserve to put this all out there. You're avoiding lawsuits, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's like, Jamie, I could do without her story. Like, we actually can imagine how, I don't think she was ever like super villainized in a way that she would be less villainized now, you know, because it's not like she's saying anything that's so like, wow, really? Like what she's saying is shit we already know, which is like the whole thing to me, if anything, is just reminding us like, I was a kid. Right.
But like it does sort of make me see just what a shit show their parenting was and just how much both of their daughters' fame was a runaway train and they had no control over it and they had no desire to put people in control of it who actually knew what the hell they were doing.
Well,
so all they ended
saw
up
it as was dollar bills. That's the whole thing. All they saw, they were just like, Lou knows how to keep the money. Get Lou in here.
Right. And like they just saw Britney's career as like a problem to be managed instead of what it was, which was like a once in a lifetime. Like she has a talent. She's the kind of person where she's just so arresting and charismatic.
Arresting is the word. Yeah.
Right. Like even when she was on Mickey Mouse Club, like just the life that just came out of her, she just was so, she was such a performer. And I look at that and
she's effervescent. She bubbles over with charisma. Yeah.
Right. And I look at that and I'm like, why do I ever get on a stage? Like, I do not have that. And like, no amount of training or skill can give you that. She just has
it. It's that like it factor.
Yeah. And she has it more than like anyone really in our generation. Even like, because I feel like even Beyonce is so much more measured and controlled. Like she's got a full command of what she's doing, but it's not the same sort of like, and I could watch Britney watch paint dry. You know what I mean?
Well, that's like, why Britney's Instagram over these past few years has been so interesting because like, I mean, we were joking the other day, like I wish she had, you know, she did that picture where she like put a little heart emoji like over her pussy or whatever, but like, it's like her tattoos are showing and it's like an arrow pointing to, it's just like, ah,
yeah.
Like she would be at this point, like like we would think she was less mentally ill if she just had better taste. I think it was like a funny, just like she's yeah. not, but it's like when you watch her Instagram, like as whatever you want to say, like crazy or stupid or whatever, it's like actually like she's really doing something that no one else is doing, which is like sharing vulnerably, like to put up those dances and show us that they've been edited. I don't know. I feel like even now in this like chaotic, you know, conservatorship and now freedom, she is still leading the pack in doing things first in a more interesting way. Even if you look, she was controversial then during Baby One More Time. They were like, why is she wearing a schoolgirl outfit? She's a hoe. We're going to get in trouble for watching this. You know, why did she kiss Madonna? Mm. It was a kitsch. It was a, she needed shtick or whatever. And it's like, no, like even now we're like, why is she dancing freely in her home? Why is she showing us who she really is? It's like, I do think that so she's true. Giving us a real mirror to check ourselves and just go, oh, you know what? Like the reason I'm triggered is because there's something about myself that I'm protecting in terms of my image. And she's actually just being more real than me. Now, that being said,
right, the whole kerfuffle about her sexuality was just people being scared for nothing. It was like, what if young girls see this and wear a crop top? What if? Then what? Then you have little girls wearing crop tops. That's it. Well, that's all.
Not to mention, like, fast forward 20 years, you guys never expected they were going to be wearing animal rubber bands that meant I'll suck your dick in the bathroom. I don't know if you missed that phase, but there was that phase where everyone was wearing those, like, they're called like jelly bands or something. And it was like,
yeah, but there's the red men. That's true.
No, I do think it's true. Like red men. No, I think it was like a way that kids were communicating about sex and about like at parties. It was like, if you're wearing this kind of band. No, I think that was true. But all I'm saying is that like, that wasn't because of Britney.
Right.
It's like, there's always going to be ways. I mean, look, even when we were growing up, there's certain language or vernacular that we use where, you know, you up is like the most tame version now that we all can agree is like the thing in the 30 podcast called you up. But it's like, you know,
well, we all pretend that like teenagers aren't sexual,
right?
And they are.
Like,
it was only 100 years ago, less than 100 years ago, that like girls got married and started popping out kids at 14. And right. Now suddenly like, oh no, you're supposed to be a nun until you're 25. Like, what are we doing? Like, come on. It's just really silly. And to act like people are only going to be sexual if they watch the Baby One More Time video. It's like, no, it's called hormones. You start getting horny and then you start doing stuff with age-appropriate kids, ideally, you know?
Right. Ideally, yeah. In the perfect world, you fuck people your
right.
own age.
Unless there's like creepy men patrolling your school and looking for girls.
But even then, yeah. Though, like Britney wasn't actually a bad example in that way. The person that she dated was her absolute peer. I mean, Justin Timberlake right. couldn't have been a more perfect. And I guess this is where, okay, a few things. So Jamie Lynn is doing these interviews. Britney now is calling her scum in public. She's like, did you read all the Britney responses?
I did not read all of them.
It's just like, you know, it's all just a little bit. I mean, this, I guess, is like a stupid thing to say, a moot point, but it's like, it's all just so trashy. Like, it's like, you know, and we're not judging. We love it. Space trash. We're trashy. But it's like,
It's raw.
It's public. And then like, there were some moments too where like so Jamie Lynn in the book talks about, and then she talked about in the interviews, a time where Britney was so afraid of their father that she grabbed a knife and then she took Jamie Lynn into the bathroom to hide them, right? It seems as though Britney misunderstood this part of the story, because then in the public, you know, shaming of Jamie Lynn that she did, she's like, how dare you? You're scum for saying this, Jamie Lynn. And like, you know, I would never, with the babies around, I've never been there with a knife with you. And it's like, even I just listening was going, no, not with the babies around. This was when you were 15. Like, she's telling a story. Yeah. So like, Britney is also on this like trigger. Like, she's not I'm not going to read the book and I never will. I didn't watch the interviews and I won't, but I do know that this is my response to it. It's like, ah.
Yeah, you got to. The thing is, like, Britney Spears is going to get canceled at some point, probably this year. Like, she's just, she's
teetering on the edge of, because it's like this, I think there's like it's like a trampoline effect of being so silenced that now she's like, fuck it, I'm saying everything. Jamie Lynn, you're scum. Everyone should be arrested. Like, here's my butt cheeks. It's like,
I'm not saying she should get canceled. I'm just saying, like, she's such a loose cannon now that, like, it's going to happen. She's going to say something that we're all going to have to either ignore, or then it's going to be the watershed moment where we're like, you know what, we're not canceling people anymore because Britney did it.
That would be an awesome that is something I had not thought about. I would love that to be the like the sort of like takeaway from this. Like, if actually we stop canceling people because we have so much space for Britney that we're not, because I could argue even before she gets canceled, pre-cancelization of Britney, I could argue that she's uncancelable only because we did cancel her for 13 years. So now if it seems like she's just emerging from the bomb shelter, like, you know, she's fucking Brendan Fraser in Blast from the Past, it's because we did that. We understand where she's not woke. She's been like literally in a coma for 13 years. So yeah, she actually might say things that are like off color or that are insulting or that are, you know, cancelable offenses. And we're going to have to forgive her for them, because if not, then we're kind of just victim blaming all over again.
Yeah. I mean, it's all crumbling already. You know my stance. When Demi Lovato said alien is an offensive word and you should say ET, that was the beginning of the end of
policing
language, of cancel culture. It's going down. It's going down. We're not going to have to deal with this for too much longer.
It's really funny. Yeah, I mean, because I think the whole thing with cancel culture, and this is actually kind of interesting. I want to do the charts, but when we talk about the other story du jour today, we're talking about cancel culture again, right? And here's the and we're talking about it with Mary Cosby last week. It's like, to me, the thing with cancel culture is that, like, if people say insulting shit, that's not nice, fine, but it's about the intention, right? So like, if you're actually trying to be mean, or you're actually being a blatant, like, over the top racist because you genuinely think that you have supremacy over other people, or that there's your, that you're, you know what I mean? Like, if you're like a guy who's just like believes in rape culture for what it's natural, you know what I mean? Like, whatever like argument you could make, then you should be canceled because you're a danger to people. Like, that's where cancel culture makes sense to me, because it's like, oh, if you're just like telling us, if Bundy was like, yeah, actually, every girl I sleep with, I end up fucking killing and putting in my trunk, it would be like, okay, we got to cancel this guy. Like, that's not okay thing to say. And he's doing
right. We never cancel for the right things. Like, Marilyn Manson was telling us for years that he was a disgusting creep.
Exactly.
And we were all like, no, it's his art.
He's an artist. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And like, Dave Chappelle makes that point with DaBaby. Like, he killed someone in a Walmart and no one cared. And then he said he used a slur, and suddenly it's like, I don't know. That is really funny to me. I'm sorry.
Oh, I think it's a great joke. I think it's very funny. And I think that like, that is what we're saying, which is that like, I don't have a problem with canceling people. If we're canceling people for being like dangers or
like Bill Cosby, yes,
cancel him. The dude was a rapist. He was a serial rapist. Unacceptable, right? But I think that like, when we're making like off-color jokes, or we're using certain language, or we're using the wrong pronouns or whatever, so long as you're not coming from like a mean place, I don't know. I don't think that most people that are walking around in society are actually like evil or are trying to be hurtful. I mean, there are people in my life who definitely like, you know, make like racial jokes or gender jokes or whatever. And it's like, yeah, hypothetically, if I don't say something, and I usually say something, but it's like, if I don't say something, then like, I'm okay. I'm part of the problem, where like, we are allowing racism or sexism or classism to remain. And it's like, yes, I get that. But also like, sometimes that's why I stuck up for Mary Cosby, because it's like, at the end of the day, like, those are punchlines. She's, you know, she's a demented person. It's like, she isn't actually like coming out to try to like get like kill all the black people that are at 7-Elevens. Like, she was just making a comment. Like, she was, you know, or sometimes when people make,
I know, I just don't think she, we disagree about this, but I just don't think she's is punchlines. Really mean.
You think she's trying to be hurtful?
No, I think what you're saying is true, that she has a completely skewed worldview that makes absolutely no sense, and we can never even begin to understand it.
She married her grandfather.
Right. But like, also, she could take a little bit better accountability for some of the stuff. Like,
sure.
You know?
Yes, absolutely. But I just feel like, in general, like, I think instead of it being like, cancel culture's over, or like, we're going more in on woke when canceling everybody, I think what is good about this, even this Jamie Lynn story, is that it's sort of like inviting us all to, you know, color in the picture, color in the lines a little bit more, so that we actually understand what people are trying to say, what people are trying to communicate, without like, even Britney calling Jamie scum for sharing this story. But then Britney's obviously misunderstanding the story, even from my purview. I can see that. So it's like, okay, are both of their feelings valid? Absolutely. But like, you know, Britney doesn't get to be the righteous hero because she's been through more. and misunderstand. You don't get to call Jamie Lynn scum on the internet, but be wrong in, like, not that Jamie Lynn is or not, is not scum, but like for the story that she pointed out, like actually she was wrong. Like that isn't what the story that Jamie Lynn was telling. She was she wasn't talking about yeah. something recent. She was talking about something from the fucking 90s.
Right. Also like text it to her.
Right. Don't do it in public. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's also tacky.
It's contributing to the pitchfork mob of people yelling at Jamie Lynn and saying that, like, oh, blah, 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 you're being such a victim. And it's like, well, she was a victim of some really shitty parenting and incredibly strange circumstances throughout her entire upbringing. Now, she got a TV show out of it. She doesn't seem to understand that her, like, most people have, you know, she would be working at, like, Denny's.
Right.
Right. Like she was saying in the Call Her Daddy interview, she's like, yeah, I had to put a really tall fence around my house. And I'm like, well, congratulations, because you have a mansion with a giant fence around it and you can afford the security.
Right. And like poor you. You're so famous that you need a huge fence to cover your huge house because people are interested in you.
Right. And I just really hope on part two of the Call Her Daddy interview, there's a real discussion of how much money she has actually gotten. And I'm sure that's not going to happen. But like, that's why she's laying this groundwork now of, I don't know. It's the people who in charge who make these decisions. She's doing what Meghan and Harry did in the Oprah interview, which
it's the
institution. And it's like, no, this isn't like, there are people who are doing these things and you are one of the most powerful people in this situation and you have the power to figure out who's doing this and why and to fire them if you don't like the way they're doing it. So like it's really shady to pretend that that its force is bigger than you when you are the force.
Well, that's the thing, right? Now she's an adult. Like as a kid, that's like if the book was all about speaking for her younger self and then there was some like, and right, we'll have to see in part two. I didn't watch it. It came out yesterday, right? But it's like you can give younger self a voice, but I wish that there was a little bit more just like accountability from the adult part of her, because it's as if she's not participating in the culture anymore. And she is. Like you're now just like, it's like she's really leaning back into this, like, I'm just that little girl still. And it's like, no, you're not. You're a mother. You have two little girls. You're married.
You're 30.
You're 30. You're married to someone with the same name as you. And you have more than enough money to survive forever and ever, ever without writing this book. So there had better be some kind of a reason for it or some, you know what I mean? It's like, it is a little
I love how
like,
stuck you are on her marrying the guy.
I'm so bothered by it.
I don't think it's that weird.
I only think it's weird because the name, like, not only is her father's name Jamie and her name Jamie, but she has a problem with it.
Well, she's inventing that. She doesn't have a real problem with it. She's making it up.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why, like, it's so blatantly stupid. It's like, dude, you obviously don't, like, resent the name Jamie. You fell in love with Jamie. Your children have two parents that are, you think it's bad that you're Jamie Lynn and your parents are Jamie and Lynn? Your parents, your kids' parents' names are Jamie and Jamie.
Well, like, for instance, I dated a guy with the same name as my dad, and that was so fucking weird. Well, I hated it.
But like Molly.
I wasn't going to not date him because of a weird name similarity.
Yeah, but it's not that it's her dad's name. It's that it's her name, too.
Okay. I'm looking at the post that Brittany made about Jamie and everything, and it's a little hard to understand and hard to parse.
I know.
But she says, yeah. Mama had been lazy with me, but I'm sorry, you deserved way more than a purse knocked at you by Mama. She should have whipped your ass. Poor Mama took it too, just like I did in the end. She worshipped you too much, I know, but if you came out of my stomach, I would have popped the shit out of your little ass.
I mean, right, like that's what I'm saying, like Brittany's like not helping.
Right.
At all. I mean, because also it's unclear what she's talking about.
Yeah, she's kind of, I feel like she's saying that she feels that Jamie Lynn was coddled, and Jamie Lynn feels that her parents' lives revolved around Britney's career. So it's like both of those can be true in their eyes, because like probably everyone thinks that their parents favored their other sibling, you know? Like I definitely think that they coddled Casey more than me. Like, and she probably thinks that I got more attention because I was the older one. Like, so I get it. But yeah, it is just messy to be playing this out in public. But I think it's hilarious that she said, I would have popped the shit out of your ass. Like, Jesus.
Well, but that's what's so fucking weird and sad about it. It's like they are saying the same thing to each other about each other, which is basically just like, no, you were their favorite. No, you were their favorite. No, you were their favorite. Or like, no, you had it easier. No, you had it easier. No, you had it easier. Which is why ultimately I do think that Jamie's book is an unnecessary an entry into the lexicon, if that's the right way to phrase it. Because it's like, Jamie, like, yes, does your voice deserve to be heard? Absolutely. Are we clearly talking to and about a traumatized, whether she's a narcissist or not, like, are we talking to someone who's been traumatized by their upbringing? Absolutely. Are we talking to someone who's currently being traumatized by the media storm still about her sister? Absolutely. But neither of them are doing anything to help what they claim that the actual problems are.
Right. And it's just everyone wrong. Right. It's so immature. And it's just everything was done to me. I never did a single thing wrong. And that's just that's the red flag that like if anyone ever interviewed me about my life and was like, you know, did you make mistakes? Blah, blah, blah. You would be like, yes, of course. But like, this is just, I mean, this is how you get famous. You don't get famous by being a normal fucking person or else we would be EGOTs by now.
Right. And we will be still, but that's because we're going to be EGOTs, but that's because like the culture is changing and because Out of Africa is going to be so fucking good. But what is like the one thing about Jamie's performance in these interviews that I am bothered by, there are two things I'm specifically bothered by. Then we can look at the chart and you can go to bed or whatever. But thing number one,
we got to talk about Jenny.
Yeah. But it's like, okay, thing number one is like, if you are going to write about how scary your father was or tell the like these details of like, yeah, well, we got the mansion because Brittany had to pay my father to basically leave the family. And then he didn't even leave. For Jamie Lynn then to have no comment on the conservatorship other than I didn't know what was going on is absurd, because it's like, even on a basic like human to human level, if you were that afraid of your father, how could you think that he would be a responsible legal like guardian and conservator for your sister? Like, the one thing that everybody in the family seems to agree on is that Jamie Spears is a monster. So why is that? What Jamie could say, I didn't know what was going on, but yes, from the beginning of all this, it was uncomfortable because my father is clearly an abusive predator, right? Malignant narcissist who actually just is using everybody in the family to maintain his bad habits. That's like what it is, right?
Yeah.
So for her to have no comment, that's where it's like, I do think that this is a cash grab by Jamie. I do think that she has,
well, the gravy train's running out.
Well, yes, except that like it's not only because like if Jamie Lynn published this book 2 years from now, it would still be. In fact, she might actually have a better time promoting the book because people would be like, oh, it's like how we kind of miss, like Loki, we miss Trump a little bit. Only just because, not that he was a good president, but it's like Biden is so boring. Like we could trash him too, but boy, Trump was funny up there. He was funny up there. He was doing a lot of fucked up stuff, but in such a comical, fun way that it, you know what I mean?
No. It's like,
who he's being?
Yes, fuck. How do we potty train this dog?
I don't really understand, to be honest. Like, that's something that eludes me. Like the pee pad thing, right? Because, like, we have pee pads here, too, like, in case the dogs, like, pee, you know, when we're out or whatever. And they don't always pee on the pee pads. But it's like, I don't understand how to communicate to a dog, like, this is where you pee-pee if you pee in the house, if we don't want them to pee in the house anyway. You know?
Yeah, Oscar has no concept that outside equals pee. Like, the only reason he goes to the bathroom outside is because we take him out every 2 hours.
That's right, because literally... you just happen to be outside.
Right, exactly. Like, he has no clue what even outside means. Like, I don't know what to do. And, like, my parents have successfully potty trained 3 dogs, and they are, like, one step above Jamie and Lynn. You know? So I'm like, how am I not able to do this?
Well, because if they're one step above Jamie and Lynn, that makes you Brittany.
Right. Well, I am Brittany. And I'm Kim.
Right. You're Brittany. You're Kim. You're kind of, yeah, you are this like sort of, you're carrying the weight. You're carrying the earth weight of the family's fortune for the future.
All right. Tell us about the charts of these gals.
One other thing I want to say that bothers me about Jamie Lynn, because I made a comment to you earlier in this week about plastic surgery, where I was like, you know, if anything, if I was ever going to make a case for someone that needs plastic surgery is Jamie Lynn. Now, what I found out during this time is that she's had it. So if you watch those interviews, the videos that you watch, you can see when she's crying that her face is very much not moving in a way that
she has done.
Well, I don't know if she's had any like work done, but she's definitely full of filler and she's definitely full of Botox, which again,
who isn't?
Well, I'm just saying that like, it makes a case for like, for all the money in the world. Like she does have enough money to get good work done. Like number one, I can't believe that she hasn't had plastic surgery because she looks awful. Second of all, I can't believe that what we're seeing from her in these moments where I think she's literally maybe never looked worse. She actually has tried to enhance her look.
I don't think she looks that bad, first of all.
I do. I think she looks so.
I know you have a real issue with her face for some reason. Yeah, I don't think it's bad. And I also think she is delusionally confident because she doesn't seem to know that she wouldn't have this career if it wasn't for her sister. She does not seem to be privy to that information. While the rest of us, it's clear as day. And that's why she's our nepotism celeb of the week. And I think she thinks she's gorgeous because she looks like Britney and she looks like Lynn, and Lynn is pretty and Britney is gorgeous. And like, I think she just doesn't think she looks different from them. I think she thinks she looks great. And I also think that's great for her. And I think it's if you don't fix your weird face. But I think, look,
you're talking to someone who has a weird face and who's never gotten Botox. Like I could also be helping myself, but it's like, I don't have the resources and the means like that. And I'm also not.
First of all, you don't have a weird face. Second of all, you do have the resources.
Oh, sure. But,
it's not a priority. Whatever.
It's not a priority. Right. Whatever. Right. I'm buying $400 worth of weed instead of injections in my face. But it's like,
that's why you're a pizza girl and I'm a coffee girl.
100%. It's why I'm a Capricorn moon and you're a Capricorn sun. You see, all kind of makes sense. But what I will say, I guess it's not a great point. But to me, if Jamie Lynn is about to go on a book tour, I would have at least got, I mean, she has no lips. Like,
but we need to normalize like people not having lips.
Yeah, but she is doing other
not
things.
Not me, just other people.
I'm just saying she right. Somebody needs to go out. I mean, look, I don't have filler but if you go close, for the most part, why do I trigger people? Because there's lipstick. I am doing the double lining that Kylie claimed to, and it's just all over my fucking mustache.
No, you have good full lips. Set of lips, especially for a white girl. Really, you're blessed.
With an underbite, really. But it could be worse. But anyway, all I'm just saying is like, if Jamie Lynn is getting anything done, I can't believe she still looks, to me, she looks like unattractive.
Well, you know.
And look, I don't mind a thin lip. But it's like, if you're going to get shit done anyway, and you do have all the money in the world and you're going on this press tour where you do have an opportunity to look better than Britney, like how does Britney, the feral animal at this point, still look better than Jamie Lynn?
Right. I mean, it's because Britney is a born star and right. Jamie Lynn is the born paralegal.
Like, and I think you're so right. Well, I think you're so fucking right that like, right. The thing that we're not saying is that Jamie, like, because what my thought in the whole thing, my biggest takeaway was like, it just does seem like she is missing a gratitude piece a little bit. Like, she truly is ungrateful. Like, she seems to be completely ungrateful. She is a victim. Everything that she talks about in every single interview comes back to like, well, why don't I matter? Well, don't I matter? I have a voice. Like, I was a celebrity too. I was a pop star too. I was mismanaged too. It's all about like, I'm finally going to be like treated like an equal here, which is just right. It's preposterous because like you're not. And that's okay. But right. If Britney hadn't been successful, you'd be working at the Dairy Queen. Maybe you'd be a manager by now, but everything that you have that you think of as like your biggest problems, they are now at this point, which they wouldn't have been without Britney. They're extremely like high end problems. I mean, you know, even if it is like so fucking fucked up, which it is, the father even being able to make $6 million off of Britney or whatever, $13 million off of her is a huge achievement for Britney. You know what I mean? It's like you don't realize that you are really talking about money here. And like, that doesn't exist without
Britney. Right. Because she doesn't really recall a time when her family didn't have excess money.
Right. She didn't Britney and Brian, the Burrs, grew up poor. And Britney
for Jamie Lynn, Yeah, for Jamie Lynn, it's just like water is wet. Like I can have anything I want. I can get a Nickelodeon TV show dropped in my lap on the strength of who my sister is. So
but
it's like,
does, but I think you're right that it she doesn't think it's because of who my sister is. I think she thinks it's like, oh, we just have that it factor, and it's like, eh.
This is our family business. I'm looking at pictures of her. I really think that she's a cute girl. I don't think there's anything. I think she's
cuter when she's not trying. But I think on this book tour, she looking and her posture's bad. I don't know. I just am like. Somebody get her some posture before this. Like, what's going on?
That's it. It's not her appearance. It's her posture and her vibe. And like her just – she just comes across – I mean, here's what we need. We need Jesus Enrique Rojas.
Yeah.
The body language guy on YouTube.
We gotta get him on the pod.
I tried to get him on Royally Us, and he almost did it. But then he, at the last minute, was like, actually, I can't do it.
Maybe he would do it because we're not like affiliated with a magazine.
I don't think that's going to help us.
He's like, wants to be underground. He only wants to be underground, the body language bodies.
Right. No, I don't think so.
I have a friend, though, who's a body language expert. Side note, I could ask my friend Chris.
Oh, yes. Ask him if he'll come on and analyze Jamie Lynn. Because, yeah, it's not her appearance. It's not the things that she's wearing. Like, yes, she's the definition of chuggy. And, like, she's just the most, like... You know, it's just her vibe. She just has the worst vibe. And you're just like, man, you have no idea what the reality of this situation or any situation is. You let your 8-year-old drive an ATV. You're an alien. You are like, she's an alien in the worst way. Like we say that like Razzie's an alien in the best way,
yes.
You know? And like, there are a lot of people that are great. Like David Bowie was an alien in the best way. Iman, yes. Mary Cosby, alien.
Yes.
Maybe in a bad way. Like Mary Cosby and Jamie Lynn might be from the same planet.
Wow. Now is a good – well, and actually I think based on their charts, that would make sense because we did Mary last week and wasn't Mary an Aries?
I forget. Tell me about Jamie Lynn's chart and then we're going to talk about Jenny from SLC.
Okay. So a few things about Jamie Lynn's chart. First of all, when we're looking at Jamie Lynn's chart, the thing I know it seems
– I think we've already done her chart before, but the beauty of it is neither of us remembers. So.
Well, that's the thing. That's the beauty of astrology, right? It's a life's practice. That's why I'm excited that I found it as sort of like a hobby because it's one of those things that like it never gets old. There's always more to learn. There's always more to observe. There's always another transit. So it's always relevant. It's always interesting. So do you want me to share the screen or no? Here, let me just share it real quick because you might find something.
Let's see if Squadcast lets us share a screen. It doesn't have a pretty filter, but maybe it has screen share.
There we go. Can you see?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is the chart of Jamie Lynn Spears. Now, the first thing I think is incredibly important to note is that she is in the middle of her Saturn return. Saturn's in Aquarius. Her Saturn is in Aquarius. And her Saturn and her North Node are both in the 8th house, which
is... under a t-shirt?
Okay, first of all, I absolutely think we should only because look, let's get on this gravy train while it's still flowing, you know, obviously. And like we forgive you, Jamie. This is a Saturn return, right?
Right. I think also speaking of gravy train, I think the reason that she put the book out now is to build, she thinks that this is going to recatapult her career and she's going to get a new Zoe 101, like because she's delusional. So I think that's right.
Did she lose a show? I feel like she just did have a Netflix show that was taken from her or something.
Yeah, she did. And so I think she thinks that once she sets the record straight, she's going to get a show again, which is so off base and delusional. But I think that's why she's doing it now. And that's why she didn't wait 2 years because she thinks, oh, all I have to do is put out the book and then I'll be back where I was. And it's like, no.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that could be right. But okay. So it's like her Saturn return in the 8th house with her North Node in the 8th house. It's also worth noting that her North Node is at 24 degrees Capricorn. That is where all of this Capricorn action, Pluto has been sitting on her North Node this for like the past year, 2 years. We just had an exact conjunction between the Sun and Pluto of Venus and Pluto. We're about to have another Mercury Pluto. We're going to have another Venus Pluto.
What's the deal with Pluto? What's the deal with Pluto?
No, Pluto is, I mean, Pluto is the deepest of the deep transformation. It is death and rebirth. So whenever, like, so for example, for me, Pluto has been sitting opposite my sun for the last few years. So for all the Cancers, and Pluto's been near all your Capricorn stuff, but actually for you, it was earlier in the Pluto, like 2008 to 2000 and like, I would say 2008 to like 2012, Pluto was really on top of your Sun and your Mercury. So you were probably feeling it more then, but it's basically like whatever Pluto is in the chart, there is a power, rebalancing happening. So it's basically like a death to the current and a rebirth, but it's from the deep underworld. Pluto is the farthest away planet, but arguably the most powerful in terms of destruction and rebirth. That's why
the Pluto return destroyed itself. It's not even a planet anymore.
Right, right. Even that's like poetic. But it's like when we talk about like the Pluto return of the United States, why is this such a big deal? Because when Pluto returns, it basically is like the entire power, the entire cycle of the power structure has now completed.
Right. Okay.
It's a revolution. It's made a full revolution. And that is, and it is the great destroyer and rebuilder.
So what is Jamie Lynn going to be destroyed and rebuilt into? Because I don't see her doing any introspection. I think she's just kind of, I feel like her reputation is going to be destroyed. And I think it already is, but the best possible scenario for her is to just become a private citizen and open an ATV school for 8-year-olds or something.
It's so funny though, because like rewind 10 years ago, what was I saying about Britney? I wish they would just let her be a normal person. She could just open a dance school for kids. Like give these people their childhoods back. Let them be kids, or at least work with the kids now, because that seems to be where they stop and start.
Right, like fame is clearly destroying all of their lives, their entire family.
Well, and like Britney's response that you just read, like it's like, oh, she clearly, and I mean this with no judgment, and it's not, but it's like she clearly has like arrested development. I mean, she sounds like these sound like 2 10-year-olds in a fight.
And she's like, you're lying. I never pulled a knife on, or I never had a knife next to you or whatever, but I would love to whip your ass. Like, right, this is Britney. This is not. Right, this is like, not getting across the message that you think. You sound violent and fucking crazy.
Right, like actually you're adding fuel to the fire of a story that Jamie Lynn wasn't even trying to tell. She was telling a story from when they were children, and that Britney had a knife in there to protect them from their father. And Britney didn't read it, didn't really hear it, is having this trip. Because she says, I don't know if it was the one that you read, but in another one.
Wait, no. On Call Her Daddy, Jamie Lynn said that she didn't know why Britney had the knife. And Britney just kept saying, I'm scared.
Okay, I think on the Good Morning, or maybe it was the Nightline, she said that afraid of her father, Britney locked them in. Maybe she was saying that she didn't know at the time, but I believe in the Nightline interview, they touch on the reason was that she was scared of their father, who was
drunk. Right. Either way, it's like Britney thinks that she said Britney pulled a knife on her, and
in
was
the past
like,
2 years,
right? And it's like. No.
It's like Britney's not understanding and fighting. And then, right, it's like when she's responding in a violent and like clearly out of reality way, it's actually kind of making Jamie Lynn's point here, which is that like this is all so crazy. And like, and then it also makes sense too, where, sorry, I made that sound, but Jamie Lynn is also saying like, yeah, when it came to the conservatorship, like I really didn't know the right thing to do because like, you know, I mean, she also said a few bullshit things too, which was like, I gave Britney all the tools. That was like a very constant narrative. Like, I gave Britney all the tools to help and leave. But like, it was her responsibility to walk through the door. It's like, no, it wasn't. Like,
right. Also, if you didn't,
fuck you.
Right. And if you didn't understand what a conservatorship was, how could you have given her all the tools she needed to get out of it?
Right.
And like, open a book, Jamie Lynn. Like, Google. Just use Google. You know that all these people are saying, and like, I get if the culture of the family is to say, no, this is necessary. We need to have it. We saw their brother, Brian, saying, oh, the Spears women are all too intense, which was so sexist and fucked up. And like, we know that that's a fucked up family. They have really weird, warped beliefs about right and wrong.
Yep.
Always have. And like, so just say that, but she's not saying that. She's just kind of upholding whole thing.
She doesn't realize how, but then it's like, when we see both of these like very immature act outs, we do have to just like zoom out and say like, wow, these are two really underdeveloped young women who, whether they're young in age or not, they have too much money for their own good, because like this shouldn't be a public issue. They should be embarrassed by this back and forth. This is not like, like nobody needs this at all. And like, yeah, I just think, you know,
but we do, because there was nothing else to talk about this week.
And side note, like we love it. We're loving it. I can't wait to watch part two. So in a way it's like, okay, thank you, Jamie. But check it out though, right? Cause it's like, okay, so Saturn return means her Saturn's returning. She's an eighth house Saturn, which means that like up until this moment, she has felt that it was her responsibility to eighth house Saturn, keep things secret, keep things private, really be like, you know, eighth house is secrets. It is behind closed doors, intimacy. It is the occult. It is also a Scorpio house. So it, Pluto rules it. So also when you're saying like, what's going to die for Jamie Lynn? It's like, well, the North Node has been, it's also in the eighth house. I think, first of all, what she's going to learn to do long term is to shut up. Like, I think
this right.
is a big, I think this is her big, like, I think I'm doing my Saturn, but it's actually just her Saturn return moment where it all comes crashing down. And I think before, where she felt silenced, what's going to end up happening is that now moving forward, she's going to be silenced, but like self-silenced, because she realized actually that is her power and that she does have privacy. And that I think that this is like a huge,
it really,
this is a big moment for her to like do the thing that she thought she could never do, only to realize that she doesn't want to do it anyway. That to me is the thing.
Right. So I think this is, again, Meghan, Harry, Oprah echoes of, were you silent or silenced? And
yes.
It's like, Jamie Lynn was not silenced. I think she was silent. She was being willfully ignorant. That's where the secrets
yes.
are manifesting themselves, I think.
Yes.
I think she's pretending, I don't know what a conservatorship is. I never even finished high school. And it's like, okay, but how come like every 16-year-old gay white guy in America fucking learned exactly, you know what I mean? Like all these random people were able to use the internet to find out what it is and start a free Britney movement. And
right.
you who are right next to the source are not able to.
And you're also afraid of your father. How could you in your right mind argue in these series of interviews now that you didn't understand or didn't know? Because even if on a basic level, what you know is that dad is in charge, and you know that the pains that Britney took to actually separate them from their parent and that he was actually unsafe, then like you just sound like you're lying, or could just sound stupid. It's like I didn't know it was going on. Okay, but again, like not to use Bundy as an example, but if you're like, I know Bundy killed a lot of women, but like, I don't know, when my sister started dating Bundy, like she seemed really in love. Like, how could I have known? It's like, because he was Bundy. Because you spent your
right.
entire, because you knew that your dad was a scary alcoholic. You talk about it an enormous amount. The mother talks about it. Britney talks about it. Everybody talks about it. But now all of a sudden, when we're talking about the conservatorship, you really don't know. You really have no idea. And it's like, okay, well, even if you
were
don't
like,
know about,
oh, I trusted my dad.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would
like, you can't,
why wouldn't that, like, even on a basic level, it was scary that dad was in charge. It always has been.
You can't have it both ways. You can't be, yeah. So, okay. She clearly is not doing the right thing in her Saturn return. She's very mixed up and confused. So,
and for the record, anybody who's going through their Saturn return, it's likely that you're not. Like, that is what the Saturn return is. Like, the Saturn return is a moment where you kind of think that, like, you're doing this, like, culminating, like, body of work. It's like almost like before your Saturn return, everything is undergraduate and everything is learning. And then, like, your Saturn return happens and it's almost like this, like, dissertation moment or like a final test moment. And then you realize that not only did that final, you got that final test wrong, but it's because there's actually something else a brewing that is
yeah.
the thing.
Here's what it is. It's Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born getting a Grammy and thinking that's her Saturn return. And then her husband comes and joins her on stage and pisses his pants.
Yes.
And what her Saturn return actually is sort of coming to terms with herself as a person separate from him and not enabling his alcoholism anymore.
Boom.
So
that's
right
exactly
now.
Right.
Right. Like Jamie Lynn, like, her. What do you think is the Bradley Cooper pissing his pants of Jamie Lynn's Saturn return?
I think it's the, I think it's going to be that she thought that this press tour was going to create, like, I think that she thinks
a redemption narrative for her.
Yeah, I think that she.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
thought it was going to create a redemption narrative. I think that she really thought, like, you know what? I'm taking control for once. I'm going to really be the driver of the car. And then she realized, like, I think she's going to realize.
The driver of the ATV, really.
The driver of the ATV, right. And I think she's going to realize that, like, actually, like, right. She's now going to choose to be silent moving forward, not because she's a victim and not because she, like, can't use her voice, but because it's actually not fucking worth it. Like, the family and like, all the people that she's blaming for all the things that went wrong in her life, at the end of the day, like, her privacy is long-term gonna be the thing that she values more. And if she's smart, she's gonna be able to use this experience to move her career forward. But in, like, and when she does, if she does, the way that she is going to behave past that will be in a private way on purpose versus a private way. It's kind of like, it's like when you give a kid like a fake punishment or something. Like in my life growing up, I was not allowed to have soda. There was like no soda allowed. We were drinking those Whole Foods spritzers. Like, and if I was caught drinking a soda, even when I was like out with friends, like I was in trouble for it. You know what I mean? So what does that mean as an adult? It's like the first thing I do is like, I'm drinking not even Diet Coke. Like, give me a fucking regular Coke, right? It's such a stupid, like, sort of rebellion, but it's like, that happens with everybody, right? Like, whatever it was that your parents were like, this is the thing, there's that
chocolate.
Little, right, like, there's that little part of us inside that's like, well, I'll show you, you know? So I think what's been happening is, like, Jamie's been thinking that they've been saying, Jamie, don't say anything, don't, blah, 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 because they're trying to silence her. And it's like, oh, at the end of the day, like, why do I have a tire swing now? It's because I've been drinking soda. My mom was fucking right, you know? And now I'm addicted to soda.
Yeah. So this also reminds me, again, not to bring them up again, but Meghan and Harry with saying, oh, we need to use our voice. If we can't use our voice, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, where was your voice while the alleged injustice was going on? Because, like, Meghan and Harry, they didn't want to leave the royal family. They wanted to stay in it and just also live in California and do deals with Netflix. And I guarantee you that if they had gotten their way, we wouldn't be hearing their quote unquote voice on all of the injustices of being born royal.
100%. And the
same thing with Jamie Lynn. It's like, okay, where was your voice when your sister was being held captive and forced to dance so that your dad could make money? Like, where was the voice then? And there's no introspection of why didn't I speak up at the time? It's just, I'm speaking up now and I should get a trophy for that. It's
And the speaking up now, though, she's not saying anything about, like, I get where Britney is pissed. I get where Britney's saying, like, you're just, you, like, every story in the book that she's, like, being honest about is some kind of, like, a reflection. It's like when Britney and I, when Justin and Britney broke up, like, why are we getting chapters on the Timberlake breakup from Jamie Lynn now? You know what I mean? Like, it is a little bit exploitative. It is, like, we don't need to hear your voice on how that was for you. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Also, and, like, don't pretend you don't know why they broke up then if you're going to give us all those deets.
Right. Cry Me a River was sad, not just because it was, like, your favorite song and their favorite song. It's because it was about Britney cheating. Get real. But okay, fine. Aside from that, it's not like she's done enough introspection even in this moment to say anything about the conservatorship. I mean, she has nothing to say about the conservatorship. She does not say it was wrong. She does not say it was bad. That's the only thing that she's, like, keeping mom on. And but then she's also talking about how dangerous and scary her father is. It's like, dude, you can't have it both ways. And she, right, like, the issue with Jamie Lynn is, like, she's really trying to have her cake and eat it too here, which is, like, I'm going to use my voice about the things that I feel are important. And it's actually none of the stuff that we actually need her opinion on that would change the relationship between, if Jamie came out now and said, look, I was a kid and I played dormant. I played a dormant role in this whole time. And I let myself be used and abused as somebody that they were making me the scapegoat of, like, the family problems. But looking back now, I do wish I had done more because my father is a dangerous, scary person. And for everybody to be okay with this conservatorship, I should have spoken out about it then. And I was too scared. Things I should have said at that time, 13 years ago, were between now and the last 13 years, you should have said at any point, my father is dangerous and scary and Britney needs to be saved.
But again, her father wasn't dangerous and scary until now that she needs a way to make herself look like the victim.
But she's talking about the childhood. She's saying as a kid, we were hiding in the closets and every time my daddy would drink. I mean, the daddy drinking even in her childhood was a fucking issue. And it was an issue this whole conservatorship. So it's like, but now she's saying it because she thinks it can help at X, Y, and Z. So I understand where Britney's like,
She's saying it because she thinks it absolves her of any wrongdoing over the past, like, 10 years or whatever. And it's like, no, you've been a grown ass adult. Like, you, like, also, even though you were only 16, by the time you had a kid, that should have put everything in perspective. Like, but also, I do get being like, I was a 17-year-old new mom. I was not thinking about the conservatorship. That's the most valid thing she said. That's 100% true.
I agree.
But then, like, yeah. Okay, that fast tracked you to adulthood. You were a freaking, like, actor on a film set. You were fast tracked to adulthood by no fault of your own because of the people around you pushing you into that. So, wouldn't that make you more mature and more likely to be looking into this shit that's going on with your sister? I mean, I like the shitty culture in their family can only explain so much, you know, like at a certain point you do have to kind of look at what your where your culpability is, because everyone in the family, even Brittany, I'm sure has culpability in it. Every single person involved in it, like no one is perfect. No one.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that, like, what it comes down to that no one is saying, that no one's going to say, is, like, there was, at the beginning of the conservatorship, I do think that they were all genuinely concerned for Brittany. Like, she was acting wild. I mean, the shaving.
Yeah.
I mean, I get where the family was genuinely scared. That's an okay opinion. But I also think the thing that no one is saying, that we are saying here on the Space Trash podcast, is that, like, at the end of the day, I think we are talking about people who fall back into, like, righteous racism to whatever degree. And I think that it was not a help to Brittany that during the time of her big, like, psychotic crash, she was hanging out with these two Middle Eastern guys and the family all, I probably could agree, like, well, this is bad. Well, this is bad. You know, we trust daddy more than Adnan. We trust daddy more than Sam, you know? So to me, there was, like, even in the documentaries that came out this past year, there was such an obvious racist lean that at the time nobody was mentioning, and it didn't even occur to us that was like part of the way that we were all thinking about why Britney was like so fucked. But it is that has everything. If she was partying with just like if Justin Timberlake were there while she was having her crazy moments, I don't think this conservatorship would have ever happened. If she was partying with like a different group,
yeah, you know, they what I had mean? Her family had a sense that these outsiders were cutting them out of the deal. And I'm sure a lot of it had to do with like their unconscious bias of they also look different from us. Like if she was hanging out with the Duck Dynasty guys and they were calling the shots, right, they probably would have been like, oh, great, this is going to help our bottom line.
That is so fucking funny, Molly. That's exactly right. The Duck Dynasty guys would be like, ah, well, she's in good hands.
Yeah, exactly. But also with Adnan, like, he was a paparazzo. That is a little weird that she was suddenly, like, hanging with a paparazzo and giving him all of her secrets. Like, I would be concerned about that, too. Sam
was also he was a real, like, Hollywood.
But he was a manager. That was his job. Mm. Like, he was doing a job. But also, Courtney Love says that he was, like, sinister with her. So we really don't know.
We just don't know.
All. Yeah. But it is definitely true that some form of xenophobia was motivating her parents to take even swifter action because of her hanging out with these guys. But like you said, she was shaving her head and beating people with umbrellas. But then, which is also like something that her parents, the problem is not necessarily the conservatorship. The problem is they force her to keep working under the conservatorship.
100%.
Because
and the problem
if
is
she
the
was too,
well, sorry, go ahead.
No, if she was too crazy to manage her own life, then she had enough money by that point that she should have been able to just ride off into the sunset and raise her kids. Like, 100%. And clearly the fame and the work is what drove her to that point. And also, Jamie Lynn says in Call Her Daddy that when they would see paparazzi in Louisiana, they would like throw milkshakes at them and shit. And it's like, so she, again, this is another behavior that she got from her family, like coming after the paparazzo with the umbrella. Like, that was a learned behavior that was tolerated and accepted in her family,
right?
So
like, this is a violent family. Like, this family clearly struggles with domestic violence,
right? And like impulse control.
Yep.
And like, it's just nothing that she was doing. And that's probably actually why they, I mean, partially their toxic family culture is why they did think, okay, we just need to get her a little bit under control and then she can go back to work. Whereas in my family or your family, for me to shave my head and beat someone with an umbrella, they'd be like, holy shit.
Right.
Like, we gotta fix this and she's not going back to work, you know,
right,
at least for, you know, like,
right, well, because, well, so it doesn't value it. Our families don't like get a lot out of our earnings. I mean, it's not, they would just be like, we want to make sure that she's okay. Like, just stay.
Exactly.
Stay home. But it's also offline.
It's also not even like, it's what I mean is also that what Britney was doing, the way that we saw her as acting out, was actually not really that far out of the realm of what was normal in the Spears family.
It's how they fucking acted. The father, they're literally hiding in the bathroom from the father. Like, this is a violent home. Right. She's actually acting completely within how she was raised. That's why it's also fucked up. But I do think, like, on a basic level, have a conservatorship to make the father, after all of the things that he has put this family through, to make him the conservator, like, that must have been the absolute most painful thing in the world to Britney. Like, what a slap in the face. Not only are you getting yelled at in the world for acting like him, if anything, but now this person that you have done everything to try to separate your family from is now going to come in and take it all from you. I mean, I get Britney being outraged right now and everything. And I totally get where, like, I do think if Jamie had a little bit more class or wherewithal, or wasn't her Saturn return, she would, it's like, it's so much bigger than like everybody having their voice. It's like, actually, like, this is a real painful family moment is what it is. I mean, it's almost like they're kind of doing, like, you know what you were talking about, like, the way that we talk about, like, true crime, like the Petito thing, like, we talk about it in a way that's, like, very analytical and, like, what's the story, what's the narrative, in a way to sort of, like block ourselves from the actual painful reality that, like, this is a person who died. I think that in a way, part of the Britney Jamie, like,
and the painful reality that you really can't analyze your way out of getting into an abusive relationship.
Right. Like, there's actually, and there's no explaining it really. And, like, and then at the end of the day, like, the details don't bring her back or make it any better. But, like, we want to feel like we understand, or we want to feel like, you know,
like we have control.
Right. Right. I feel like in this case too, like, the real, real bottom line issue is that Britney Spears and Lynn Spears and Jamie Spears and probably Brian Spears, although he probably came out the least scathed, have been in a really abusive relationship with the patriarch of this family. And that's really fucked up, and that's really painful. And, like, I think Jamie Lynn, if anything, not only because she's working with, like, Lou Taylor, his girlfriend, manager, whatever, still to this day, but I think it's like I guess it's like, this is a half-baked memoir, because number one, it is, like, on the eve of her Saturn return. So it's not quite, she's not quite awake yet. Like, she's just kind of waking up and finding herself here on TV with you know, bad Botox or whatever. But it's like,
I didn't think her Botox was that bad.
I did. I was like, I'll show you some pictures that I just bothered. She looked like a Muppet. I mean, everybody that I know gets Botox and it looks better than Jamie Lynn, and she's all the resources. It's the same thing with, like, Britney.
She's
Taylor.
Just a little bit.
Like, why don't you have better tracks, Britney? Like, you have all the money in the world. Like, why are you getting your hair done at CVS?
Right.
Anyway, point being, though, that, like, all I want to say is, like, at this moment, I think the real pain point that everybody is overlooking is that, like, this is a family crisis moment, and it's about the father, and it has nothing to do with Jamie Lynn or Britney. It has to do with the fact of, like, we have been absolutely abused and chewed up and spit out by this guy who, you know, we were too stupid to continue to trust. And that's really fucking painful.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's clearly, like, it's a lack of introspection. And I think our advice to all people in their Saturn return is, don't miss the forest for the trees. And don't think that you know what your lesson is going to be. Like, you don't know. It's going to really kind of, I don't know, like, thinking, how old was I when my Saturn return started? Like, 28?
I can give you the exact dates. I mean, I'll tell you what, for me, it was, like, the year that I did my Saturn, that I had my Saturn return, I did Last Comic Standing, and I was also madly in love with Randy, and we were in, like, an on again, off again thing, but I was fighting so hard for my relationship, and I was fighting so hard to, like, really take my comedy career to the next level. I hated both things were damaging to me, but on the back end, the only thing I could do with I started the Moonual that year too, and I didn't know at the time what I was doing. In fact, I was getting a lot of shit for doing the Moonual because they were like, why aren't you just focused? You're so all over the place. Well, like, astrology, you need another thing. Like, just focus on comedy, right? And I was like, yeah, but this to me seems like a way to do it. And I don't know. To me, it was, like, the most obvious thing to do for comedy. But I didn't realize that, like, what I was creating, I hated doing Last Comic Standing, and I was in a fight with Randy every single day for a really long time. It was like, oh, I didn't realize what the Moonual was. It wasn't just, like, a good idea that I just was getting a show going at Caroline's. It was actually going to be, like, the anchor to my life you know, for whatever foreseeable future. And I could have had no idea about that. So that's where it's like, there's always like a thing that you think is the thing. And then there's this thing that emerges out of the thing that you realize that you don't have control over, or it's not what you thought it was. Like, I think Jamie Lynn thinks that this book tour was going to be one thing. And I think when she realized
it's not at all,
it's not at all. It's not at all.
Everyone's dragging her even worse than they were before. It was better when she was silent. It was better for her when she was just sort of being quiet. And it's like, come on, how much money do you need? Like, you're not Meryl Streep. You're not, you know, I'm sure you like performing. We all do. But sometimes at a certain point, we got to hang it up. And like,
and it's like, do it through, if you're really like such a talented songwriter and what, do it through music. No one's making music. Why don't you make a few songs about what it was like to grow up in the shadow of your sister?
Right. And like, you don't need to be doing it on this national stage that was handed to you. If you truly love it, just for the love of the game, just do it just for yourself.
Right.
You don't
right.
need to work anymore. You have enough money.
And wait, the last thing I'll say really quick about the chart is that, okay, so she has her son in the 11th house. That is like the public, the internet broadcast in Aries. And it's trine, meaning it's in a harmonious relationship with her moon in Sagittarius, almost to the exact degree in the sixth house. So really like, and Mars has been sitting on her moon this past month. So like, that's why, like, it's not a surprise that like that, because Mars is always a trigger. So it's like Chiron goes direct in Aries right around her sun. And then Mars passes by her moon in Sagittarius. And so this is a moment where she really does think she is healing her soul and healing her
emotional
ego.
State. Her Sagittarius moon is being sparked by Mars into action, but it's the wrong action.
Exactly. It's the wrong action, but ultimately sometimes the wrong actions are the right actions because they lead us into, it's like, that's where it's like, I don't believe in self-sabotage either. Like, sometimes I think we just need an ego death. And I think what Jamie thought she was doing was having an ego resurrection. I think this is going to lead to like an ultimate ego death, which long term will actually save her.
Right. I feel like I'm having an ego death with comedy right now because I'm like, okay, I've been not writing new jokes. I've been not wanting to go whenever I get booked on a show. It's like I almost get like a panic attack borderline, like where I'm just like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. I can't go. I don't want to like take the subway an hour to get to the show for 10 minutes. Like, and I feel like now I'm like, wait a minute, why? If I don't want to do this, why do I keep doing it? And it's ego. It's because I've listened to too many podcasts with like toxic masculinity, white men being like, you're not a comic if you don't take every opportunity for stage time that you ever get. And it's like, you know what? Like, there's too many people doing stand-up, first of all. There's too many. The market's flooded. I know way too many comics. Like, I first started, I was usually like the only girl at the open mic and everyone else was a school shooter. And I was like, okay, maybe this is going to work. Now it's like, you know what? There's 7,000 gazillion people, not even counting all the people who are funny on TikTok. Also, I'm terrified that I'm not funny. And I'm taking my own advice and being like, you know what? What if I'm not funny? Let's sit with that. Let's sit with not trying to be funny. Let's just sit with what if I'm not funny? And maybe I'm not. And maybe that's what I learned this year and I do other shit, you know?
Well, I think that like really what you're saying is like, whether it's like, so I like the practice of like, well, what if I'm not funny? But not because you're not or because you are, but because I think that you nailed it when it's like, there are these like ideas of, cause like stand up is, yes, it's a healing craft, certainly, and being funny is healing. But ultimately, like when we're talking about like becoming a stand up comedian and like there is so much ego involved because it's like, there is so like, right, like, do you have what it takes? But there is like a culture of abuse that you need to buy into in order to make it, right? Which is like, I'm gonna like, yeah, like every comedian on every podcast is like, yeah, if you wouldn't kill yourself for this, and if you don't like go and do it and throw yourself in front of the bus over and over and over again, then you don't actually have what it takes to make it as a comedian. And it's like, okay. So I went through that experience myself where, I mean, honestly, it was my Saturn return where I was like, you know what? Maybe I don't like, I had to, for years after I hated doing Last Comic Standing, I literally had to be like, what if I'm not a comedian? Like, what if I'm not? Because I didn't, that's what Randy said to me right afterwards. He was like, for the record, like, I'm not saying this with any judgment, but like, this is the job. Like, if you didn't like doing, I didn't like doing Last Comic Standing at all.
Yeah.
He's like, if you don't like
doing it.
What
did you not like about it?
Every single thing about it, I didn't like. Like, I mean, that's like a whole other conversation. I mean, ultimately what I didn't like about it was that like, it was like this high pressure, like TV show, but like a reality TV show where you actually can't be real is really weird. Like, mm-hmm. So it's a reality show, but then like everything you say is very like, say this, say like, it's very much like scripted in a way. Like, your character's your character. They dressed me in something I would never wear. I didn't look like myself. Then like, you know, the jokes, you have to really stick to the script, which is mm-hmm. fine, but like, it just takes away some of like some of the joy of doing comedy is that like, you're really there in the moment,
yeah,
connecting with an audience. And it's like, when you don't have any sort of ability to like adjust your set based on the room, I just don't enjoy that. But then like, there was like an audio flub and I had to redo it a second time. And like, the amount of time that you spend in like hair and makeup and in the green room and getting interviewed, whatever, whatever, before the actual set is like, it just like everything about it was like, I mean, yeah, I could go on. I hated everything about it. And
right. It's like what people don't realize about acting. Like, being on a film or TV set is the most monotonous, boring shit in the entire world. It's not like stage acting. It's right.
And if you want to be pulling teeth. If you want to be a stage actor, go be a stage actor, but just know that the money's not the same. And so that's kind of what I was realizing too. Like, oh, like, I could just go be a stand-up comedian and like work in real life at the clubs. But then I look at my peers who are doing that and it's like, okay, so what does that mean? I max out at $40,000 a year and I live in like comedy condos whereas there's cum in the ice. I have to go buy new ice because some comic played a prank where there's cum in the ice. It's like, I don't know. Right. So like, it's not
right. And also like, I don't want to work on New Year's Eve.
I like don't mind working on New Year's Eve, but like, it had better be like my choice for money. Like, I don't want to work on New Year's Eve for $25
at like a casino in Atlantic City. Yeah, like, I don't want to work. I don't want to work at night. I kind of realized that recently. I was like, I hate leaving my house at night. I just want to sit around. Like, I don't want to do it.
Well, I mean,
and then I was like, wait, shit.
Well, you have a daytime chart too. Like Jamie Lynn, your son is in the 10th house. So like, and Jamie's the 11th house, but it's above the horizon line. So what that means is like where your ego thrives. Like for me, actually, I'm a night chart. So like, I don't mind working at, I actually enjoy working at night more than during the day, but it doesn't mean I want to go out anytime. I'm a Cancer. But like for you, right. Your ego, you do thrive in the daylight, in the, you know, Capricorn 10th house is like, you are there in the public for the public in the sunlight, being that kind of like front runner hard to explain, not front runner, but like being the weight, like you, in my mind, even if you feel unsuccessful, I feel like you act for me as like a beacon of light in terms of like how to do things right. And like how to do things. Like, I think that you are like such a hard worker. You really have your eye on like, or you just have like you have your finger on the pulse in a way that most people that I know don't, even if your opportunities haven't been like as like, you know, financially rewarding as you wish they were. That's partially because the system is rigged. But like for you to go and just become like a Royals expert and have like an Us Weekly show for all these years. And now like it is, I do strongly feel that even if it was random at the time, I think that long-term is, I think the book's going to work. I think we are going to do musicals. I think the Royals are going to give us so much more than we even realize. And like, you have done a great job of just like, even if it's not like a long or not a fast payoff, you play the long game and you've played the long game and you are the cream of the crop and you will rise to the top. But it is like daytime
stuff.
Thank
you. I feel like a hot mess. You should see the freaking laundry on my dining room table right now. It's terrible.
The goal is just clean the house. And I like that. I think that's an okay goal for now. You know, you got to just bold a little. That's all good. But no, but really like, it's like, but I know what you're saying though with the ego death thing, because right, like so much of it, it's like if we took away the label of comedian or we took away the like the cachet of being
the cachet,
right? It's like oh, actually, just like on a functional level, I don't want to go out and speak for 10 minutes an hour away and not get paid and then and or get heckled. Like it's like without there being any labels, you just functionally don't want to do that. That's why you're having the anxiety, but that is an ego death. And Pluto is in Capricorn. Mm-hmm. This is an ego death for you because it's sort of like, look, if you actually want to be as successful as you can be, what Pluto wants things to die in real life. So like, you know, the way that you, wherever that late degree of like basically starting at 20 to 29 degrees of Capricorn in anybody's chart, there is a death occurring. So for you, it actually is the legacy that you thought that you were here to like mm-hmm. on paper look like you created. But I think what's going to happen is if you actually let that part of you die without making it mean that much, like when you go, you know what, I officially quit. Don't, if you can, instead of going, well, I guess I'm not a comedian. Look, I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I don't give a fuck if I do any show for the next 20 years. I'm a comedian because I talk funny and because I've done it. Right. Like,
yeah.
It's like riding a bike, right? So it's like you get to be a funny person in the world, or you just get to be yourself, right? Like I sort of like taking the pressure off of like if the Space Trash podcast isn't funny every time, but we have an interesting conversation that is astrological in nature and that's educational and thoughtful, that's actually fine with me. And I enjoy that more than like, did I get enough punchlines in though? It's like that gives me anxiety, but actually being able to connect with you and connect with the people that are listening, that doesn't give me anxiety. So, you know, if that means I'm not a comedian, so fucking be it. But I still know that what I have to share is valuable, whether you think it's funny or not. So I don't care about the label. I care about just doing my work. And I think that's where you're kind of realizing like, oh, at the end of the day, yeah. I only have so many hours in the day. There's work I don't want to do, and I can feel it in my body. There's work I do want to do. And I think that is exactly like the value shift that's happening, because now all of a sudden that North Node is in Taurus. It's on your moon, your soul. And it's going, Molly, the whispers of your soul, what is it? What do you really want? What are the whispers of your soul really saying? And if it's saying, I don't want to fucking leave the house right now to not get paid and get heckled an hour away in the freezing cold, that's a worthwhile thing to listen to, as long as you don't make it mean like, yeah, let go of the idea that you're a comedian because that makes you valuable. But you're
exactly
not creative.
Yeah.
And whatever that means is perfect.
Yeah, that's what I'm learning. And I'm really stoked about it. But it's kind of crazy how it just came on so suddenly.
Well, it's the nodes.
I know. Also, the Northern line is down from Moorgate to Kennington. So that means I can't even get to any of the shows I normally get booked on anyway.
Well, that's also showing you like how truly powerful you are psychically, because like you said, universe, like get me out of
this. I broke the tube.
You literally broke the motherfucking tube, dude.
I broke the tube. I'm sorry, everyone. Final thoughts on Jamie Lynn. She just needs to really, I mean, the public is not the place to air this out.
It's just hard though, because like in her chart, she does have a public career.
Right.
Like,
we've talked about this for too long, but the next time we talk about it, when the Spears family comes up, we're going to need to do some digging into why this family has such an addiction to publicity. Like, they truly, it is an issue. Like, their solution to Britney kind of losing it a little bit was, we got to get her back out in public ASAP. That's insane. That's crazy. So that's, you know, tune in next time. Jenny Nguyen of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. This devastated me. I am so upset by her Facebook posts, which have surfaced. Now, Jenny is the new girl on Salt Lake City. She's adorable. Her family is really cute. They had a blatantly fake storyline where her husband floated having a sister wife. But you know what? I didn't even hold that blatant fakery against them, because I was like, it's tough to maintain your spot when you're a new housewife. Like, whatever.
I thought there was a few too many episode segments where she was like, he knows I don't want to have the children. How dare he ask me again? And he was like, come on, Jenny. Like, I think we just do it.
Yeah. And it was really humanizing for her to share her miscarriage story, because that sounded devastating. But then, yeah, to then wrap in this fake plot line with the sister wife was sort of in poor taste, with something that's so raw and real. But I still didn't hold it against her. But now seeing all of these memes, it's like, holy shit.
Wait, can you send me a link? I don't think I even saw the worst of it, because
I sent you a bunch.
Oh,
I already sent it. It's in your WhatsApp.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't send it again because I'll crash my computer. But
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
A lot of it is really standard anti-vax, anti-Trump, which honestly, there are these really stupid shit posts that I wouldn't even hold against her because they're so stupid. There's a picture of Trump shaking hands with a doctor that says, only make the vaccine in suppository form. I want the Democrats to shove it up their asses. If I found out any Real Housewife said that, first of all, I wouldn't be surprised, because these are rich ladies. Like,
yeah,
most
I have
of them,
to assume they're all Republicans.
Right. And also, it's so stupid that it's funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't hold that against one.
But this seems like confusing to me though, because she's anti-Trump.
No, that's not what I meant. Sorry. Did I say anti-Trump? She is a Trumper full on MAGA. She shared shared a fake news link that said software glitch in Michigan sent 6,000 Trump votes to Biden. Like, really happened, but it's not proof that the election was stolen. Like, she like that. She thinks the election was stolen.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Hates Obama. Okay. Now here we get into the really really
juicy racist. Racism.
Really racist stuff. Yeah. Okay. This is just a text post that she shared from someone. Hundreds of blacks shot and many killed, including children, by other blacks every week. Over 1,000 officers injured, some permanently, by rioters. Anarchists rioting in major cities every night, blah, 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 blah. Destruction to private and public property. And you still think police officers are the problem. You are an idiot. So blaming black people for like violence in inner cities.
Was this a response to the, I mean, if it was in 2020, this must have been right on the heels of the George Floyd.
Yeah, it was summer 2020. And it's just like this myth that conservatives have of black on black crime. I'm not even going to get into why it's bullshit. We posted a story on Galore about why it's bullshit years ago. That's all backed by studies. Look it up if you want. There's a million stories about why it's a myth.
But it's also not even the same, even if it's not a myth, which it is, but it's not even the same conversation. It's like to try to make the George Floyd and Black Lives Matter protests about anything other than protecting black lives is like, it's like just gaslighting the public. It's like you're gaslighting yourself.
It's crazy. And the main thing is everyone is murdered, assaulted, abused, raped, usually by people in the same demographic as them, because it's done by people who are in close proximity to you. So every race has a blank on blank crime issue. Like, well, it's just the way it is.
And I thought, like, to me, the most personally triggering stuff during that 2020, like the season of riots, I unfollowed people when their concern was more about like how sad it is to see like the Best Buy being looted and like
things.
It's just like, that's what's sad. Like, that to me was like the most pathetic. Like, and even if they didn't mean it in a racist way, you could just see how clearly there was this inherent ingrained bias towards like businesses being the thing, like businesses, family, property is it's sad that someone's property was hurt, or that it's sad that the business has to be closed. It's like, yo, you guys.
Yeah, like, way to miss the point completely.
Why
is that the hill you want to die on?
Like, right.
Yeah, it sucks. Nobody wants to see any of this happening, but
yes, like, Madison Avenue is in full disarray. It's like,
right. It's like, think about what got us to this point. It's not like you can, whatever. Ugh. We agree on this. Okay. Here's another thing that Jenny shared from theblaze.com. Cops lawyers make bombshell claims in George Floyd case. Body cam shows Floyd ingesting fatal amount of drugs before arrest. He died of overdose. So she's sharing this thing that says he died of a drug overdose.
I mean, that's just not true.
Right. Something I can't read. It's too long. Okay, this one. I'm sick of people saying cops need more training. These are all memes, by the way. She didn't write these, but still, she's resharing it. So this is from an account called Assault Life, with a picture of an assault rifle and an American flag. I'm sick of people saying cops need more training. You had 18 years to teach your kids it's wrong to loot, steal, set buildings ablaze, block traffic, laser people's eyes, overturn cars, destroy buildings, and attack citizens. Who failed who? Insane.
But then it's like, okay, but like, Jenny, like, what about the where was it, that not Charleston, where was the Jews will not replace us?
Did she have that?
No, I'm just saying that, like, if you have this much of a problem with the Black Lives Matter protests, then, like, what did you think about the neo-Nazis in was it Charlottesville?
Where? Oh, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, if you have a problem with that, if you have a problem with what you're saying you have a problem with, then you also have a problem with the Jews will not replace us people, right?
Yeah. She has a joke of Charlottesville when the kid rammed into the people. It's a cartoon of an old lady with a truck with a bunch of pictures of people on the back, like how people have it for their families to show their family. But she's got a speech bubble that says, no, that's not my family. That's how many rioters I've hit.
Okay. So this
making
is
a
exactly
joke
my point. Like,
of how, running over rioters.
And how stupid to just be publicly pro violence in certain cases.
And then
you know what I mean? It's like, oh, you're just racist.
Another meme, if you follow the officer's orders, you won't get shot. You know, you can imagine how everything – they all just go on and on and on and on. So adding insult to injury was her apology, because her apology said
– yeah, the apology I thought was really bad.
Why are you Googling Vietnam War?
Well, oh my God, I forgot you could see my screen. I was. Well, I was trying to, I should have Googled, but like, cause I guess like, you know me, I'm always just trying to like, you know, understand that people aren't evil. They're just like demented or like maybe their backgrounds gave them, you know, I want to give people the benefit of doubt. But like, so didn't she escape? What, when she immigrated to the United States, wasn't she escaping some?
She's a refugee. She's like straight up a refugee. Like,
so what was going on when, so was it, but it wasn't the Vietnam War. What was the, she fleeing from?
I think it might have been the Vietnam War. I think she, because right? When was she born? In the 70s?
She was born in 77.
Yeah. So that's the Vietnam War.
Okay. So then that's why I was Googling it, because I wanted to see if maybe there was like some, because it's like Vietnam War.
She explains it in one of the early episodes and people can go listen to that if they want.
Because so like, here's just to give context is all.
Yeah. Yeah. Like she has a really rough upbringing. Like you would think that she of all people would understand why what she's saying there is racist. She is a minority herself. And she just had a storyline last week where she was telling off Mary for saying racist things to her. So it's like how, and she, yeah. So, okay. Here's what she posted on her Instagram 23 hours ago. I want to acknowledge and apologize for my deleted Facebook post from 2020 that resurfaced today. Allegedly, she just deleted them today.
Oh, no.
So, yes, they're from 2020, and yes, they're deleted, but they resurfaced because they were still up until they became public.
They resurfaced as in, like, they're on the surface.
They never desurfaced.
They never desurfaced, right.
Allegedly. This is what I've read, that they were already up. At the time, I thought I was speaking out against violence, but I have since learned how offensive and hurtful my words were. This is so insane to me because she's equating violence with Black people. Like, how is she not seeing, even in her apology, she's
it's
giving
still
up
a racist apology.
She's giving up the conceit of all of her posts was, oh no, I wasn't speaking against Black people, I was speaking against violence. And it's like, clearly you're equating those things. Okay. It's why I deactivated that account more than a year ago, which I think means she lost the password and forgot how to sign in.
Right, because
and
why, people have been because it has been just up.
Right. Lord. And why I continue to try to learn about perspectives different from my own. I regret those posts and I'm sincerely sorry for the pain they caused. And her hashtag, her caption is hashtag hate is a virus. And it's like,
okay, so that's also though, that's hate is a virus has to also be like a low-key nudge, like an anti-coronavirus, anti-vaxxer thing, right?
Right. And like, also, I'm mad at myself for giving her the benefit of the doubt of the fact that she refers to her husband as a doctor when he's a chiropractor. Like, we should have known from the jump that these people were anti-science, anti-vax, anti... Right.
He's a doctor, right.
He's not a doctor. He's a friggin' masseuse.
He's like, a masseuse with an extra degree.
Right. Like, he's a doctor the way that Jill Biden is a doctor. Like
100%.
Yeah, they have a doctorate, but like, they're not medical doctors.
And you know they're slamming Jill Biden for being Dr. Biden.
Right. And it's like, no, you Dr. Crack My Back is not no. So, yeah, I'm really bummed out about this. Like, and but the really interesting thing is in like one of my group chats where we talk about housewives all the time, they're like, oh, she's going to get fired. And I'm like, no, they never fire women just for being racist. It has nothing to do with why they fire people. And also, like, nor should it, in my opinion. Like, they, like, people kind of get a little bit confused about the mission of these shows. Like, the mission of these shows is not to platform awesome people. It's like, but, they
right,
say,
actually, it's not, it's actually the opposite.
Right. Like in Dave Quinn's book that just came out, Not All Diamonds in Rosé, which is awesome. And also listen to friend of the pod, Connor Behan's podcast, Housewives and Me. He just interviewed Dave Quinn this week and it's such a good interview. Dave talks about how he wrote the book because the book's an oral history and he talks to a lot of housewives. And Sarah, he had a 12-hour conversation with Carol Radziwill for this book.
Oh my God. Wait, first of all, I will listen to Connor's episode. I will also download the book and also let's get really him good. On the Let's also get him on the pod and let's also get Carol on the pod. Carol, if you're listening, we are still standing you. I will do your chart anytime.
I know, Carol, we want you on the pod so bad.
Love
so,
you.
So Dave talks about it a lot and it's really great. But anyway, in the book, several times, multiple times, the producers and the behind the scenes people say the shows are about rich women behaving badly. And it's like, what more do we do? These shows are not about people who are paragons of virtue. Like, it started with Real Housewives of Orange County, And those women are the most MAGA people. Like, Orange County is like the most rich person MAGA mecca in the country. Like, this is what these people always have been. They all are. The only city that really has any Democrats is New York. And like, there's maybe one or two in New Jersey. Like, this is a show about rich assholes. They're all like mostly Republicans. They're conservative. They want low taxes. They hoard wealth. And even the ones who don't hoard wealth because they're broke pretend they hoard wealth.
Well, so or they're criminally like
right.
They're actually like committing crimes in order to get more wealth so they can fit into this wealthy society.
And even if they weren't conservative, racist, wealth hoarding, completely unethical people, the show's about women pulling each other's hair and throwing drinks on each other. Like, why do you want those people to be ideologically aligned with you? You know, like,
well, that's the whole thing. It's like, I was listening to something, it was talking about like, well, what is Bravo's responsibility here? And it's like, zero. Bravo has told you from the beginning what this is. And if anything, I do think maybe like Andy has a responsibility on his Watch What Happens After shows. Like, and we've been saying that too, like the whole time, like, why are the housewives important? And why is them saying racist shit or doing fucked up shit important? Because it does bring it into the common conversation. Like, it actually does bring up things. It sort of walks us through how to respond to people in your life, or even if it's you, if you're the accidental racist or even the on purpose racist, like having this mirror where you go, well, damn, she's getting a lot of backlash. Like, maybe it does hurt people, or Andy can then use his platform and use these characters that he's putting on to then become of service. I actually think it's a good thing.
Right. I agree completely. Here's where I think Bravo is a little hit or miss. So there's a season where there's a Halloween party in Real Housewives of New York City. I think we've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah.
Luann does blackface. And then there's an episode of Atlanta where one of the women, I think it was Kenya, wears a Native American headdress. Now, they made Kenya issue an apology about it, and they cut it from all future airings of the show. And they didn't make Luann apologize for the blackface, even when it came up, even when it led to Megyn Kelly losing her job. They didn't even ever make Luann deal with it. They allowed her to do some really mealy-mouthed, stupid-ass apology on Watch What Happens Live. She just pretended that she didn't put – her whole body was brown. She spray-painted herself brown like Ariana Grande on the cover of Vogue. Like, she truly was wearing blackface, and she was wearing a cartoonish afro, even though Diana Ross never really even had an afro. She had it in, like, one photo shoot. She was in blackface, and they never made Luann do anything about it. So there is a double standard for the predominantly black casts versus the predominantly white casts, and that's what's fucked up. If anything is fucked up, it's that.
Even in this case, too, where it's like we never hear about like Dorit's like tax issues, really, but like we are on top of Jeannie's racism, and we are on top of Jen Shaw's criminal activity, but like we don't really hear about like the white girl's criminal activity, and we don't really hear about the white girl's racism.
I don't know, because people are like sharks on Erica Jayne now. And Teresa Giudice, her criminal shit was like years worth of material. So I don't really think that's true.
I don't really know. I'm not a full-fledged like long-term watcher, but
yeah, it's just like whoever has actual cases against them. Because the thing is with Dorit's stuff, it's all alleged. So you really can't talk about it without opening yourself up for a legal issue yourself. So like that's really what it is. But like now with Jenny, all of her posts are public and we've seen them and she's acknowledged that they're real. So now we're free to talk about it.
And how did this get sparked? Like why, like if they've been up this whole time and we've been watching her all season, why now is this just part of the conversation?
I think, okay, I have no idea where they came from, but her niece made a TikTok where she said, Jenny's not who you think. She and her husband are obsessed with money, blah, blah, blah. But also the niece seemed like it was very he said, she said. It was like, all right, maybe you just have drama with her family. So that could be something. And I think someone who knows Jenny probably just was like, oh, she is getting too much credit for standing up to Mary when she's got this in her past. And not even in her past, in her present. It's literally still on her Facebook that she's claiming she deactivated but clearly didn't. So I think it was just someone who knows her got fed up and leaked it all, you know? But yeah, I think – I don't know what's going to happen. I guess they're going to what would be cool is if they have a conversation about it. I don't think she's going to get fired just because of this, especially if, like, the only way she's going to be fired is if she's bringing down ratings. And, like, that doesn't mean, like, if people don't like her, that doesn't mean she's bringing down ratings. Like, people
In fact, we're talking about it now. I mean, right. We like it.
Everyone hated Danielle Staub. Danielle Staub does not have a fan on this planet, and she still had 3 seasons and was allowed to come back. They say in Dave Quinn's book, the way that you get fired is either just people don't care about you one way or another, or if all of the women kind of turn against you and you're on an island and no one will film with you. So, like, that's how you get fired. As long as Jenny has allies who want to film with her, especially Lisa, who is like the powerhouse of the cast in terms of like stirring the pot and starting drama, like, she's good. And like Meredith, the reason why Meredith keeps saying, oh, I told you guys not to invite me to places where Jen is because she's trying to get them all to freeze Jen out so that no one will record with Jen. And if they won't film with Jen, then Jen will get kicked off the show. But I think it's like, that's a really stupid gamble for Meredith to be making because Jen now has this legal issue, which is going to feed the cameras for at least another year. And
right. Like, she's actually like, just separating herself from the storyline.
Right. She's icing herself out.
She's making herself irrelevant.
Right. So yeah, that's the way it works. So yeah, I don't think Jenny's going to get fired for this. I'm really, really, really disappointed because she was actually one of my favorite housewives. And I'm bummed out.
Yeah, I could see that.
This would be like finding out Tinsley was racist. And it's like Tinsley on New York, because she just seemed like a really nice, genuine, sweet person. Mm-hmm. And Tinsley did get some blowback because after the Trump election at the reunion, Andy went around and asked everybody, who did you vote for? 3 of them abstained, which you could tell meant they voted for Trump. 3 of them said Hillary, and Tinsley said she didn't vote, and everyone like flipped out at her. And it's like, dude, this girl has never read a news article that didn't mention her name in her life.
Right.
I'm sure.
Like, we don't need her vote. Her vote. Right. Like,
democracy is not resting on Tinsley Mortimer's shoulders.
She's gonna write herself in.
Right. Ideally, everyone would be super educated and vote. But like, I don't get this whole like vote no matter what thing because I'm like, man, there's a lot of dum-dums in this world that I'm fine with them staying home. You know, like.
Yeah, reserve your votes, people. Just do you. Just keep doing you.
Okay, well, I think that was a really fruitful episode, even though we only talked about 2 topics.
Can I just say a piece about a genie's chart here?
It's Jenny, yeah.
Oh my God, Jenny. Yeah, I gotta watch the season. I have no idea who she is. But side note, what I think is interesting.
I can't believe you're not watching this season.
The first 2 episodes were so boring that I was, because it was literally like Jenny fighting about not having kids. And then otherwise they weren't talking about the Jen thing at all. And then it was just Meredith being like, I'm not being in the same room as Jen. And I was like bored, but I'll pick up again. I'll start with the faux episode and I'll watch from there.
Yes, you have to watch the pho episode. Like I second screened the first 2 episodes too because they were boring. But then starting with pho, it really gets completely off kilter. And,
excellent. Okay, so I'll walk past that and then we can do the reunion and stuff. And then I'll have more of an educated, I'll get educated on the cast before.
Right, this cast is at their best when they're being stone cold weirdos. They are freaks, these people. And I'm like, these are the most TV-ready people you could find in Utah. Like, what's everybody else like? This is insane. Like, these women are out to lunch. But yeah, I'm sorry. Say what you were going to say.
Yeah, I look forward to getting involved with the season. What I think is interesting. Okay, so we're looking at Jenny's chart. She is a Gemini sun, almost exactly conjunct her Gemini Jupiter. She also has her Lilith in Gemini. And then she has a 28-degree Mercury in Taurus, and then she has her Chiron conjunct her. She has an exact conjunction between Mars and Venus at the early degrees of Taurus, which is then also exactly on her Chiron. So, what does this all mean?
She's chaos. She's chaos.
She's chaos. And even though on a certain level, like having to flee Vietnam and be a refugee, like that's very much like Mars, Venus in Taurus conjunct Chiron, meaning like there is a safety issue, there is a physical body issue, but in terms of her ability to actually get out of there and create a new life, she does have her Venus and her Mars again in the exact same place working together. Like her masculine and feminine is very balanced in that way.
And like She, I know I can't know this by watching her on TV, but she comes across as so poised and so together. And like she says, I married a doctor, even though he's not a real doctor. Like she, like I can't even get to the level of like perfection, at least in the outer way, like looking like you have the perfect life, perfect hair, perfect makeup, perfect clothes. And she's a freak. Like she had to overcome so much. She doesn't seem like she does not radiate trauma in any way. Like she just seems like the most put together, well-adjusted person.
Well, and I think it's interesting too, because if we're talking about this all starting like with these George Floyd response tweets, you know, at the time, when that happened, the nodes had just moved into Gemini and Sagittarius. So the North Node was in Gemini, pointing us in the direction of Gemini. So she, when the North Node was in Gemini, yeah, she gets on TV. Her attention is being given to her status. Jupiter, it blows up her talking head personality. She's also, she has Lilith there in Gemini too. So it's also like, and by the way, you're going to give me this platform, but like, I'm also going to be a little controversial. Now it's interesting because Lilith in the sky has moved exactly onto her Gemini sun. So we're actually seeing this other darker side of her that she really isn't fully presenting. That's what Lilith does. She exposes the shadow. She exposes the secret. She exposes the wounding. She exposes the socially inappropriate and the sort of rebellious nature. Then the nodes literally just shifted into Taurus and Scorpio. And so what do you have? Like, well, now the North Node is basically just sitting on top of her Mercury going, okay, actually, we do have to pay attention to your voice and what you've been saying. It's not just like, oh, but now you're a star. Oh, now you're on TV. Oh, Gemini controversial. No, it's actually like, let's get serious for a minute. And what's also interesting is she's having a Uranus opposition in her chart. It happens to everybody in like their mid 40s. There's like this, it's sort of what they call like the midlife crisis alignment. Mm-hmm. When you have Uranus opposite your Uranus, it's almost like that like creative spark or that thing that just makes you do things on a whim that sometimes, you know, just posting memes or whatever. It's like,
I just pictured like two cartoon butts pushing up against each other.
It's, you know what it is? It's more like two cartoon butts farting into the other one's asshole.
Blech. Sorry. Oh.
That was a really bad, but because I always think of it as like,
hey, I brought up the cartoon butts.
I'm just going with it. I was just yes ending, but it's that it's more like I always think of Uranus as the planet of like Zeus, like throwing a lightning bolt. So to me, this is like Zeus in her chart throwing a lightning bolt is all of a sudden met with like another parallel Zeus being like, actually, I've got that lightning bolt. And it's like, you know, and so then it's these two lightning bolts coming at each other. Not only is the like aftershock a little bit unpredictable because it depends, you know, like you don't like when you see a lightning bolt come from the sky, you know, it's just going to fucking hit the earth. But when you have a lightning bolt hitting another lightning bolt, it's a little bit like, whoa, what actually is, you know, where is it going to fall? Where is it going to strike? Or like, what is going to happen? Right. So that's like sort of what's happening. It's like, that's why I added the farting bit because it's like, it's energetic.
Yeah. Here's what I want to know about her. I want to know how the hell she felt comfortable calling out someone else's racism when she clearly had these posts in her not distant whatsoever past and clearly holds these points of view. Like, I don't know. It just seems like if you're sensitive enough to understand racism against you, how do you not see it in those memes?
Well, two reasons. Astrologically, the reason is that she has her moon in Aries, okay? And her moon is exactly, talking about Pluto, her moon is exactly opposite Pluto. So it's almost like she is trying to just like take care of herself on a soul level. Like she feels it when somebody says, you know, you're a stupid Asian or whatever it was that was racist against her. I have no idea. But it's like if somebody were to say that to her, her feelings become
stupid Asian, said no one ever.
Is it right? Right. Exactly.
Like, it's like when you.
I was trying to say something that you wouldn't have to pause and then say, Sarah, I have to cut that. Now I was trying to say, that's not insulting anybody. That wasn't what you said. But when it's like when your moon is opposite Pluto, it's almost like you have this on a soul level. You are motivated and driven and like internally inspired to care about yourself, be impulsive, take care of number one, really just like when you're having an emotion, feel it. But because of that Pluto opposition, it's like you don't. Like in standing up,
yeah,
for
like
herself,
she clearly knows how to execute self-care,
right? But it's like in standing up for herself, she ended up opposite Pluto, exposing her own racism and exposing how self, like her reacting to Mary wasn't actually being like, I am against racism. It was like, you said something about me. That's what this is. And so her in responding to Mary or even in posting these tweets, I think that the issue is that when there are people that are racist that have also been victim of racism, they don't feel like it's like they know about racism because people are racist against me. But then what ends up happening is like they put blinders on it where it's like, so I'm the victim here. Like this chart is very all Gemini. You know, why is she comfortable posting all this shit when all this completely racist shit is up on her profile? Because look, opposite her sun and her Jupiter is her Neptune in Sagittarius, kind of like from a ethereal place, like focusing everybody, refocus everybody on the actual truth, which is that these posts are up. But Gemini has no problem fucking flipping and flopping and just saying whatever and like not being accountable for the thing that they said last week. Or, you know, like that's the whole thing with that. That's why like Casey and I can go to parties and just be bullshit and you're like disgusted by it because your Chiron's down there in Gemini going, why are my sisters even saying this shit? Whereas Casey and I are like, oops, whatever, lol, we're talking. You know what I mean? It's like Gemini.
Well, I'm like that fucking, too.
No, but you're much
spontaneous.
More. It's not that you're not spontaneous. It's that you have integrity. And I think one of the issues with Gemini is, and I'm not saying that all Gemini, and I'm a Gemini rising and I am like also a Capricorn with Mars. I do feel that I have integrity, but it's like Geminis can come across because Gemini, I think the benefit of the Gemini sign is that nothing's that serious. Like Gemini can just like kind of fuck around and Gemini can just like say something or like make a joke, or the part of me that you always have to edit is that Gemini part of me that's like, well, I'm not, I don't mean to be mean, but so is it racist? Is it racist that I did Jenny's voice? Is it racist that I, you know, the jokes that we make, right. You know, and, but so that's a very Gemini thing. So for her, this is a very, you know, a Gemini Aries is sort of a, yeah, it's chaos, it's nightmare, it's very like trigger reactive, like hairpin trigger. And like at any moment, she's going to just say the thing. But then it's like, because she has right. Neptune opposing her sun, it's almost like her sense of ego, the opposition to that is like, it's sort of like a nebulous, watery, like, are you sure about that? Are you sure about what you're saying? And it's like,
her politics are clearly very reactive. Like to see that people are like looting businesses and not say, well, what led to this moment? And instead to say, they should stop is like reactive. And right. to say, oh, someone got killed by cops. Like I believe in my head that cops are good people who are meant to uphold the peace. So clearly that person did something wrong. Like right. she is completely right. reactive.
Completely and reactive. Not. Well, and also like if the thing that you're, like if you're upset about the violence or if you're upset about the looting or whatever, it's like she's it's all very like this is a very surface chart, right? Like you see that there's almost like no energy in anything other than Aries, Taurus, and Gemini. These are the most immature. These are the first three signs of the zodiac. You know what I mean? Like she really doesn't have like she is a specifically this is a young soul. Like she's not an old soul. She is out here trying. I mean, her South Node is also in Aries. Like she's basically trying for the first time not to be selfish and not to like her work here is to learn to actually like North Node in Libra, like connect to others and balance and understand and find justice and harmony. So like for her to be this like chaos merchant and this agent of disharmony in the world ultimately does lead her into hopefully learning her work, which is actually to do what she says that she did in her apology, which couldn't possibly be true because I mean, literally, if the apology at least said today I learned, I would believe it. But if it's like, I have been doing all of this work, i.e. trying to find that password to delete those tweets. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, it was up yesterday. You don't have that much. You didn't learn from yesterday.
Right. Like Jenny, we know you weren't reading the infographics in summer 2020 because you were posting the other infographics. You were posting the shitty memes. You weren't reading, here's all the work we need to do about racism. Like I understand that I will never understand, but still I stand. She never even saw that one.
Whoa.
That stupid ass one with the pinkies that couldn't even physically be possible. Oh, I hated that one.
No, but I think that, first of all, I agree completely. She was really like, she's on the wrong meme page. Okay. But aside right. from that, like when we're talking about like when she's reacting to like the businesses or the looting or whatever, she really is speaking about nothing but what she's seeing in front of her. Like she's not, I don't even right. think she was like meaning to be racist. I think she was looking for claims, memes to back up her pain point, which is that, oh, I got out of war-torn Vietnam. Can I just enjoy luxury United States?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And it's not, obviously not excusing it, but it's like, it's that reactivity. It's a reaction.
I don't think that she's like down in her deep soul. I don't think any of these people are down in their deep soul racist. I think that they are just down in their deep soul, selfish, ignorant, fearful, and are too rich to know how stupid they sound. Because when you're rich, you get away with fucking murder, literally.
You're insulated. Yeah.
Right.
And I think they're just spewing whatever their parents and grandparents and the people around them have said, because the people, you know, the people with the money, there's this quote, I'm sure it's attributed to someone and it's not anonymous, but I don't know who said it, but they said, if you want to know God's opinion of money, look at who he gives it to. And it's like, okay, well, that is a very convenient theory for me, being someone who would like to have more money, but don't. And it's a good way for me to be like, I don't have money because I'm great. And it's like, no, well, it's not, definitely not what it is.
But I know what you mean, though. I do love that. I do. I am coming into having a little bit of poor pride right now.
Yeah.
I'm actually a benevolent person. That's why I'm anti-money. And it's like, yeah. If you gave me a boatload of money, like, I would definitely spend that money and live well. So I don't really know.
Right. And it proves what we were saying at the beginning, like the people who have gold inside from Socrates' theory, they are not better people. They just have more money. It's just like they are lucky to have more money and not have to worry about it.
Well, and in fact, actually, when we were talking about like the Socrates times, when he's saying gold, I mean, the original value of the dollar was because it was a trade for gold. Like gold actually was the original commodity. So when he's saying like, well, there are some people that have gold inside, it's like, no, he could be being literal. He might be literal. They might have gold inside their vaults, even if it's
right.
You know what I mean? It's like they literally have gold.
But you also need bronze.
Well, right. But that's why it's still up there. I mean, what we're not saying is that there's gold people, bronze people, and silver people. But then there's also like people that are doing water work. They're not even near the metals. You know what I mean? There are people, you know what I mean? Like, it's like there's actually all different types of, I mean, it's like you would say then like Native Americans were just like, they didn't have any metal.
No, because they had chiefs. And the chiefs had people that they trusted in that were like the silver, like middle management people. And then
but when I think about like Native American culture, and this might have to cut because I truly might be ignorant.
What the fuck do you and I know about Native American culture? All I'm going
to say is like, well, you know, I grew up in public school, New Jersey. We did learn about the Lenni Lenape and, you know, we went to places. But what I want to say is I imagine though that like in the culture, in Native American culture and a lot of tribal cultures, it's not the chiefs that do nothing. It's actually the chiefs that have like a huge responsibility and are actually like protecting the.
Yeah, but that's what rich people think they are too.
Right.
Like, it's in every society. And like, also we have to make sure that we don't idealize societies that we don't know about, because like there's just as many assholes in every single demographic, you know, like we are surprised. Like part of us, I mean, me at least, being surprised that Jenny's racist is racist of me, because I was idealizing her because I was like, oh, she's a refugee. She's a person of color.
She couldn't possibly be all these things.
You must know better.
Hate. Right.
That's me fetishizing her. And like, that's not cool, you know? Yeah. So like, we just have to, like, everyone's a piece of shit, you know? And that's why Caitlyn Jenner is ultimately good for the transgender movement.
Just to show that there's piece of shit trans people do.
Right. Yeah.
That's so fucking funny, dude. And I agree with you. Yeah. Like, it's like, I think again, it goes back to my point of like why the housewives being racist on some level is valuable, because it's like, if you are doing deep introspective, maybe not funny, but deep introspective podcasting work like we are in this moment, it actually is helpful to go, wow, wait a second. I would assume that she'd be racist, because in my mind, when I hear people speaking in using racism as like a personality or like as a, you know, whatever, I always think, oh, they must be. Like, I think like, oh, Jenny must be coming from such a hurt place that she's like, now, like, not only does she feel justified to be racist because people have been racist to her, but then also it's like, it's you want to look for bad guys. And you know what? If you want to survive in this rich person culture, you don't want it to be the white people.
Right. And like, the bad guys are always coming from inside the house. Like, mm-hmm. The bad guys are always closer to you than you think. And it's just so much easier to tell yourself the bad guys are this different sect that's identifiable by their appearance. And that makes it easier for you to get away from the bad guys. And it's like, no, the bad guy is your pervy uncle who you share genes with. Like, it's not the people on the other side of the tracks who you never interact with. Like, it's just not, you know?
You think that like Vietnam War, she would maybe know that, but
I mean, she was just in trauma. It's like,
right.
I just feel like, yeah. But I also, you know, another reason why I think having not booting Real Housewives just because they're racist. I think it's really silly because so many other famous people are also racist or are also secretly MAGA and secretly anti-vax and secretly Trump. You know, like it's pretty much a big rumor in Hollywood right now that they've all got fake vax cards. And like all these rich people are not getting vaccinated because they're just like, no, I'm not doing it. They're rich. Why would they do it? They don't do shit they don't want to do. You know, like it's just, I think most of the people that we have up on this pedestal, they are shitty inside. They are hoarding wealth and influence. And like, they're not like, it's not just the people we catch. Like, yeah, someone caught Jenny and now she's going to have to go hide. And it's like when they caught Jean-Paul Gaultier and then he had to go hide, and they caught Mel Gibson and he had to go hide. They always come back.
Of course.
And like,
yeah, but not to mention though, in this case, it wasn't even like, that's why I'm asking. It's like, it wasn't like they caught Jenny. It's like, actually, this has been Jenny's personality. Jenny's out.
Exactly.
Jenny's the
that's
out
what
there.
I was going to say.
They hired her like this. The tweets were up.
Mel Gibson didn't become anti-Semitic after Braveheart.
Right.
Like it was
right. Jenny
always
was hired. This is her first season. She was hired before George Floyd. I mean, she was hired after George Floyd.
Right. Like it's not this new thing. It's not like, ooh, we caught one and now we've eradicated racism from Hollywood and show business. Like, no, they're all hiding in plain sight. That's just the way people are. It's human nature. Like, so it's like, okay, are we gonna blacklist people because they say something stupid, or are we gonna have a conversation about it and explain to them why it's stupid, and hopefully they will understand, and then the people watching the show will understand?
Well, exactly. That's the
best, who might not have gotten it.
That's the best case scenario, and I do think when they do it right, that is what happens. What I want to know is, because like I think that it's also a little bit different. Like we had a conversation about Mary last week, right? Like, was she being racist because she was saying shit to people's faces, right? She's calling Jenny a slanty-eyed hoe or whatever. Was Jenny saying anything on the show that was specifically racist, or was it just these tweets that have been now not even resurfaced but have been like linked?
No, well, people are saying now that they had an inkling because she would speak to Mary in AAVE, and like she was kind of like, people were like, that was a little weird, but they kind of let it slide.
And it's
but
like, I not how she talks to the others.
Right, exactly. Mm. So they were thinking that, but yeah, no, she hasn't really done anything on the show.
So that's also an interesting point too, because I think, you know, it's like there's a difference between policing Mary's behavior when like on the show she's actively attacking people racially versus Jenny, who now there, I guess it came up actually because she confronted Mary, I'll have to watch, but it's like she confronted Mary and then everyone's going, well, wait a second, Jenny, like you have all of these post up. It sounds like that's sort of the trajectory.
Kind of like, but the no one knows really where the post came from. They sort of just bubbled up on the internet. So it's, I don't think it was one of the other housewives who did it, because Mary doesn't have any allies at this point, you know? Like, so it's just something that someone close to Jenny was like, wait a minute, everyone's patting her on the back for being anti-racist, and they don't even realize she's got this fucking treasure trove of insane QAnon memes.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're like really on top of black on black crime being the problem, then you're part of the problem.
Right. It's like, why are you so invested in that? Like, it's such a, yeah, we agree.
Wrong conversation, Jen. I have one final question for you.
Okay.
What did you think about Kim Kardashian's pee emoji?
Oh, she's just like toying with us. And
I feel like she's like in high school again.
I know. And I kind of love that for her, and I'm happy for her because it seems like she's having fun. But I'm watching right now the season where she and Kanye get engaged, and it really made me so sad to see just how happy mostly Kanye looked with her, because she was at a moment where her face wasn't really moving. But they just seemed so
happy. They're a great couple, man.
I know. I'm so sad about it.
I love their relationship. I truly loved their relationship.
I love his new song where he roasts his own children for being rich.
Oh, I know. I mean, but that's
rich ass kids get this ain't your mama's house.
But you know what? That's appropriate. Like, I think it's really important that those kids hear that from him.
Yeah, and it's funny. He's joking.
There is kids.
And
he loves them.
He's not actually threatening to kick Pete Davidson's ass. It's funny. And Pete Davidson probably thinks it's fucking hilarious.
Pete Davidson, his life's probably fucking made. This is a little boy's dream.
Can you imagine getting mentioned in a Kanye song?
I would be so excited under any circumstance.
Right. Like, he could be like, oh, Molly Malshine, I'm going to submit fraudulent tax returns so you get arrested by the IRS. And I'd be like, hell yeah, this is great. I don't know why that's what I thought.
No,
of
but it's like, no, but seriously,
my taxes.
No, lol, I don't even bring that up. I don't even do the T word. But it's like, no, not only are you referenced in it, but like Kanye being threatened by you because you're fucking his wife, who's the hottest woman on planet Earth, like, doesn't get cooler than that. You thought,
right,
you,
hang it up.
Just when you think there are no tears left to cry, we got Kanye on some tear shit because Pete Davidson, you are somehow Hollywood's most eligible mentally ill bachelor, and we're here for it. Kim does like crazy men.
I know. She likes a DSM-4 diagnosis.
Yeah, man. I think it's because of the Pisces moon. I think that on a certain level, like, her inner self.
Isn't that what I am? No, I'm Pisces rising.
You're Pisces rising. But no, you're a Taurus moon. You're like, I have no time for that shit. Pisces, you're actually, and your north node is also in Pisces. So you're sort of actually meant to lean into your, like, crazier sides.
Right, but not in relationships. No. In relationships, I'm like, give me peace. I just want to sit on the couch.
Well, that's exactly what it
means. Together
you,
and hang out.
You actually need that earthy kind of relationship so that you are safe enough and comfortable enough to lead with your artist self.
Yeah.
But I think that Kim, with that Pisces moon, it's like Pisces moons, if they're not like trying to save themselves, they do get off on trying to like sort of save others, or they have like unending sympathy for people, or they have unending, like, she's arguing for both of them. Like, well, artists, you know, artists are just emotionally, blah, 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 right? Like, she has a lot of space. And then as that Libra,
right,
always going to be like, I'll just pick up the slack for whatever they're like troubled with, or whatever they're saying, I'll just be the other, right? Like,
she's the perfect candidate for it because she's a breadwinner. So it's not like these guys are going to take her for all she's worth and she's going to be in the poorhouse. Like, she's always going to have enough money for herself and her kids. So if she wants these little fixer-uppers, you know what, Kim? Do it.
I think she loves it. I think she loves being sort of, I think that's like her way of rebelling in a way. Like, you know what? Like, I have space for people with a mental illness. Okay.
Except Chris Humphries.
What do you think? He has also mental illness?
No, he just looks like a foot.
Yeah, but he was like the most normal, and like they had the talk about the difference.
No, I think Reggie's.
Yeah,
Reggie Bush was the most normal
by far. Yes, time out. Yes, Reggie was normal. But that Chris and Kim season is painful to watch.
Yeah, they hate each other.
Kim was mentally ill at that time. For her to even have agreed to this marriage, I mean, that whole season is so embarrassing for her.
I know. I think that was her Saturn return. And she thought that forcing this marriage was what was going to help her grow up. And it was like, no, Kim, that was not the point.
Wait, I don't have to do it right now, but let's put a pin in that. I bet you it was her Saturn return. That's exactly fucking right. Because especially,
I'm going to make such a good TikTok.
Especially for a Libra. I will confirm it right now, but especially for a Libra, and we have to find out where Saturn is and everything, but it's like, right, the lesson for a Libra is like, it's not going to necessarily be marriage that saves the day.
Well, until someone way better to marry comes along, which is Kanye.
But even then, here we are getting diss tracks for your new boyfriend.
I know, but like, that marriage ran its course in a great way.
Oh, absolutely.
It really,
it's not over. Let's be clear. It's never over.
Right. It's never going to end. Yeah. So yeah, I love what's going on with Kim and Pete. I think Pete's really happy to get this shout out.
I also need to make it an amendment. I did say last week that I thought that Julia Fox was raised with money. I want to say that I have found out she is from New York, but she wasn't raised with money. Her dad was an immigrant from Italy. She was born in Italy, and she was like a heroin addict before she was like 20. So she definitely has more. I apologize for saying that she was more privileged than she was.
A lot of rich people are heroin addicts before they're 22, but
right. a lot of New York people.
Exactly. But yeah, that's what I thought. She's not nepotism, but she is like, I mean, having a dad from Italy is its own form of like mystique.
Totally.
That you're like, oh man, my dad's from Elizabeth.
Right. My dad's from Springfield.
My mom's from Chester, Pennsylvania. Like, fuck.
Oh, damn. I mean, yeah, my mom is from Boston. Okay. Wait a second. Yeah. Kim
Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian recently admitted that she married second husband Chris Humphries because she was 30. That's Saturn return.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to make a really good TikTok about it.
Cool.
No one steal the idea. No one's listened so far. Oh, listen, mm-hmm. I have a new, I mean, no one's listened this far. I have a really good idea for how to get more listeners. We're going to say, look, I talk shit on my podcast about my friends who don't listen. because I know they're not going to hear it. I'm going to post an Instagram story that says that. And then everyone's going to listen.
Well, you know,
everyone's going to be like, my friends are going to listen because they're going to be like, oh my God, did she talk shit about me? And then people who aren't my friends are going to listen because they're going to be like, I want to hear the drama.
Wait, I think that's a genius idea. Also, because that is, I mean, I've been saying this all year that like my test is like for everything, even like there's that one Instagram video that my vagina, bare vagina, is just showing the entire time. And I know if my friends are watching my shit or not because they watch, and the ones that watch say, hey, by the way, do you know that your puss is showing? And
what? Which video was that?
It's when Desi was here and I was like screaming at everybody and I was like in a performative angry sort of thing. And the second one,
oh, I put
my vagina is just out. But it's like, it's pretty funny because like Desi's got the filters going. Like it does work. I don't hate it. And for some reason, it's like the most shared thing by friends and strangers alike, even though I think it's like probably one of my worst performances. But like whatever.
For some reason.
But if it's my badge. But yeah, it's like I know when people watch because they're like, oh, I don't know if you know this, but, and then it's like, cool, you're a real one.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't notice.
Well, that's okay. You talk to me pretty, like, I understand you not wanting to dig into my content. I feel like you may have your fair share of Sarah content to wrestle with on the day to day. I forgive you for not watching all the Psycho Sunday episodes, especially the ones where I'm just screaming belligerent and my boots are showing. But if you want to see it, I'll send you a link.
Thank you. Thank you.
I love that. I'm glad that we're talking shit about you people. So don't listen.
All right. This is 3 hours long now. So hopefully I will cut at least an hour.
And two topics. But how nice to have somebody on planet Earth that I could truly wax poetic with about celebrity gossip. What fun.
I know. It's amazing. It's so great. And we're going to get
our life's work. This is our life's work.
We're going to monetize.
Oh, we're fucking monetizing.
Because I'm back to being a fucking bloodthirsty Capricorn.
Let's go.
I was off-piste for a little bit, and I'm back on
piste.
Well,
that was part of it, though. It was the astrology. Like Capricorn has been in the washing machine for since 2017, really since 2008, Capricorn. When Pluto entered Capricorn, it started then. But since 2017 and those eclipses, we are just now like getting our head out of the water with these like Pluto conjunctions that then will move us into the Aquarian age. So like, I think we're right on track. And with that North Node in Taurus, you're like money, 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 money. Actually, I don't need to fucking survive out here. I'm going to demand what I'm worth and it will save us all.
And I'm a capitalist again. Sorry, everyone. Sorry, Bernie. I still will vote for you, but I'm a capitalist.
Well, it's just like, I don't think you're capitalist. I think so long as we are living in a capitalist society, we need money and we need to.
We are living in a material world and I am a material girl.
Right, right. Exactly. So it's like, so long as that's the way that we get materials, we're going to need money. But until then, we're also totally open to brainstorming ways that we could get all the materials and, you know, invent new currency. But I'll do that.
I'm not going to do that.
I'll do that part.
I'll buy stuff.
Yeah. That's cool.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.